We left off on Pei Vav Amid Aleph. The Gemara quotes a three-way machlokes satanoim. How much do you pay for boshet? So when you start reading the sugya, it sounds like there's a fundamental machlokes between Rav Meir and the other tanoim. Rav Meir says that everybody gets the same; it doesn't change. And Rav Yud, Rav Shimon disagree. Shimon says you tone everything down. And Rav Yudah says, that's what it sounds like. When you get to the last line on the daf, the Gemara says that that's not what Rav Meir meant. Not that Rav Meir meant everybody gets exactly the same. It's also all the three Tanaim agree. But the way Tosis explains, Tosis says, what the Bezdin is going to go assess each and every case individually, it's very hard to assess it. So Rav Meir says that it's too hard. So how you can take his word for it, you're going to believe him. He says, how much money would I take that they should embarrass me? So we don't take anybody's word for it. We set a fixed value. But if it's a child, if it's an infant, there's no boshes. But if it's a child whose embarrassment is less than an adult, the child doesn't realize that he should be embarrassed. There's not such a sense of busha, the same as an adult. So then he has a separate fixed price, a separate fixed amount for boshes for children, as a separate fixed amount of boshes for all adults. Rav Meir also agrees that Hakolim Pei Vayim Sham is Baish. It's as if it were a takana de rabbanon. It's a technical detail as to how you assess it. And then for sure there's machlekes of Yud Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon tones everything down. For the wealthier people you tone it down, and for the poorer people you tone it down. Okay, so it's just details and how you are koveya, how much to pay, but they all agree in principle that on the level of the rest really should be a kol afi amivayish amizbayish. Then the Gemara quotes a fascinating brisa that's taking off from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, where's the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amid Beis? Upotar ala boshes hashihei miskave. Ronechai van boshes if you're miskave labayish. Then we had the Gemara earlier at the end of the second parak. But the Gemara says, even if lo niskaven levayish, as long as niskaven lahazik, that's the whole Gemara Chob Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara repeats again what it says in the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amid Beis, you have to have even niskaven levayish, or at least niskaven lahazik. So now the Brisa has a fascinating thing. One should assume, like it says in the Mishnah, that akol afi amivayish, amizbayish, that different people get different amounts of money if you embarrass them. So what if I was niskaven levayishes hakot and levayishes hagadol? So the busha was much more. The busha that I caused to the gadol was much greater than the busha that I would have caused to the katan. So since the din is you have to have niskaven, and he was only niskaven levayish to the smaller amount of money, so you assess on the smaller amount and you pay that to the one whose busha is much greater. A fascinating din. So the Gemara has a comment on that brisa. The skaven levayish is hakat misha agadol, you only pay the main boshes of the kot. So the Gemara wants to know, mani, whom does the brisa follow? It doesn't seem to follow Rav Meir, Rav Yudah, or Rav Shimon. Rav Meir says that everybody gets the same amount. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Rav Meir says, all the ketanim get the same amount, all the gedolim get the same amount. The skaven levayish is hakat misha agadol, you only pay the smaller amount. Rav Meir also agrees that there are different levels, there are different amounts. So then the Gemara says, the Brisa cannot be Reb Shimon, because this is a whopper of the Gemara, because there's a Machlekes Tatanoim in Sanhedrin, where the Niskamela Haragazeh, the Haragazeh, is Chayv Misa, Potem for Misa. I'm shooting and there are 10 people in a row, and I want to shoot, miss the 10. I know all the people, I want to shoot 10, I don't like him. And then I miss and I shoot 9. Mamish, the guy's a murderer. But he slipped and he doesn't shoot well. So Reb Shimon holds that he's Potem. Machlekes of Shimon and the Rabbanim. If this kamal hargis akum b'hargis ha'yisrael, hargis akum is an aver, it's an iser, but there's no einish misa. So if this kamal hargis ha'peima b'hargis ha'adam, hargis ha'peima, there's no chiyuv misa. And this kamal hargis ha'nochri b'hargis ha'yisrael, even though there's an aver, but since there's no chiyuv misa, so then he's not chayv misa for killing the Yisrael. But this kamal hargis ha'yisrael b'hargis Yisrael acher, so that case is the machlekes of Shimon and Rabban. So Shimon learns that in the pasuk, the or of lo, become a love, achi is kaven lo. The or of lo, become a love, achi is kaven lo. That's what it sounds like. What did the Rabbanan do with that pasuk? It's a pretty sharp expression. The or of lo, become a love. Sounds like this kavala harkazeh harkazeh. Sounds like it's potter. The Gemara says no. Brat lazarek yevin lego. That means if you have a group of 10 people standing and we're standing so far away, we can't tell who's a nachri and who's a yisrael. 9 of them are yisrael, number 1 is a nachri. He says I want to shoot number 1. The odds are 9-1 that number 1 is a yisrael. The odds are 9-1 on any one of them that he's going to be a yisrael. And it turns out in the end that he did kill a Yisrael. He wanted to kill a Yisrael. And at the end it turns out he did kill a Yisrael. But when the Yadim gave a Hasra, so they said, you better not shoot because the odds are 9-1 that you're going to kill a Yisrael. So the Gemara says that you're potter from Misa there. That's what the Pasuk tells me. Shimon says that it's talking about a case you have two Yisrael. So whichever one you kill, you chayv Misa. And this Kavla Hargazev Hargazev is potter. The Rabbanim disagree. There is no such din. But they say it goes on this case. I can't identify who's who. He says he's miskaven laharoig number 1, and they're all standing still. If they're walking, so the din doesn't apply. This quirk of a din. So the dins are very strange din. When you learn Yeridaya, there's no way to explain it. They told me that Harav Aglan, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, is the Rosh Hashir Malei Adumim, got his doctorate in mathematics by explaining how Kavua works al pi mathematics. I don't know, people who don't know mathematics, people who don't learn in Malei Adumim, when we learn Yeridaya, we never understand what in the world Kavua is all about. Kavua deraisa, why it should be so, kemochok, no one understands. So if they're moving, then you say the odds are 9-1 that he's going to kill Yisrael. If he's miskami, says that's what I want to do, in the end it turns out that he did kill Yisrael, so he's chayv Misa. But if they're standing still, so since... If you would walk over, you'd be able to identify who's who. The miyut is nikar b'mkama. The only thing is that we're standing from such a distance, we can't tell. So that the miyut, which is kavua, standing still, has a chashivus because it's standing still and it's nikar b'mkama. Then we say kol kavua ke machzo al machzo domi. We treat it as if it's no longer 9-1. Al pi pashtus, based on mathematics, it does not make any sense. You should say that there is a right. But the Gemara says that's what you learn from this pasuk. The Shaila is the Ran, the Chiddush Ran in Sanhedrin on that daf, on daf Peivav. Yes, the question: how does Reb Shimon know? If Reb Shimon uses that expression, teaches him Achis Kaven Lo, and this Kaven Lahargzev Lahargzev is Pater. So how does Reb Shimon know the din of Kol Kavua Kamachzah Machzah? You got to tell me that Reb Shimon doesn't believe in Kol Kavua Kamachzah Machzah Dami, but the Raman Paskins like Reb Shimon. That Niskavan Lahargazev Hargazev Pata, and the Rambam quotes the din of Kol Kavua, says a kasha on the Rambam. How come the Rambam Paskin's book? So the Ran, Chiddush Ran, writes the standard answer in such a case is that Tarte Shan Minimino. We learn out both dinim from the same post. Very difficult. How can you learn out two totally different, unrelated dinim? Kol Kavua, Kamachsa, Machsa Dam is a dinim, Kolatar, Kula, Kavua, many other cases. Now the din is a local din, Hilchas Ritziche. How can you learn this Kavla Hargazev Hargazev Pata? How can you learn out two dinim from the same pasuk, which are so totally different, is a problem? That's what the Ran says. You learn in the beginning of Bava Kamma, the Gemara has sometimes. If you have a pasuk and you're not sure whether it's Shen or Regal, so the Gemara says, well, maybe it goes on both. Maybe it goes on Shen and Regal. So sometimes you do say like that. Because Shen and Regal are basically the same Avnezikin. Shev Regal is the same thing. There are no differences halacha l'maisa between Shen and Regal. It's all the same thing. The Rambam counts it as one av. There's a Karen is one mitzvah in the Taryag mitzvahs. That you have to pay Karen, you have to pay Bor, you have to pay Yesh, you have to pay Odom HaMazik, you have to pay Oynes, and Mefatim, or it's Yishem, or it's three mitzvahs. And Shem and Regal is one mitzvah. It's a hyphenated. Shem and Regal hyphenated. It's the same dinim. Always the same dinim. So that we understand why if you have a pasuk and it's vague, Shilach as Bir can be interpreted as Shed, can be interpreted as Regal. So the Gemara says, all right, so it goes on both. Okay, so what do you, the Gemara asks, so what do you need a beer of Bizdeyache? Once it says Bishilach is Biro, so Bishilach would mean Shen Amregel. So what do you need a beer of Bizdeyache? So the Gemara explains why. But over here, this is problematic. Yeah. How should we paskin on this Machlaikis Satanoim? So the Pashto says, Shimon was a holy Tana and he worked on the Zohar for so many years, wonderful, with all the wonderful Milas, Rab Lag Boimer. Whatever, but what has it got to do with Yochas v'Rab Malach Ram? He was outvoted. There are many places in Shas, but the Holy Tana, Reb Shimon is quoted, and the other Holy Tanoim disagreed. But the Holy Tana, Reb Shimon, he was outvoted. We don't pass like Reb Shimon. Mazda. So the Rambam, for some reason or another, passes like Reb Shimon over here. The Raifid gives him a what for? Well, what all of a sudden? Why should you pass like Reb Shimon? Yochas v'Rab Malach Kirabim. It's a problem with the Rambam. So the Rambam holds, apparently that's what the Nicely Kem said, the Rambam holds that there are stam sugyas that seem to assume the din is like Ibsha. Where the stam sugyas is not so clear. Problematic Rambam. There's a problem on top of the problem. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, earlier in Bava Kama, that according to Reb Shimon, that Niskaven Laharog Ezeh, Behorog Ezeh, is Pata by Odom, by Rotzeach, would be the same thing by a Shor Shoharag, a Shor HaNiskal. What is the Shor HaNiskal? There are two Shor HaNiskals. There's one Shor HaNiskal that we talk about in Bava Kama a lot, a Shor Shoharag is Odom, is the Shor HaNiskal. Hashor Yisrokel Begamba all of Yumas, that's known as the Shor HaNiskal. Then there's another Shor HaNiskal that we don't really talk about so much over here. He's in Zvachim, Perakat Arul, it's called Zvachim Shenasarvo, and he's in the end of Tmura. Ashur that's a Raveya Saisha, or a Nirva, Ashur that participated in Mishka Behemah, so the din is also Barakta Saisha Vishabema Taro, it's also Skila, also Asabanro, also Pasa the Gabi Hamizbeh. That's all the same din. But we learn Baba Kama, we usually don't talk about that Sharnista. We're talking about Tushar Shaharga Sadam. So the Gemara says earlier that in the Mem, the Gemara says according to Reb Shimon that Niskamalar Gezev Horgezev Spata by a Retzeach, by a man who's a Retzeach, so by Behemoth, Shehorga so Adam Niskamalar Gezev Horgezev will also be Spata. So there the Rambam writes not so. By the Shor Shehorgezev Akum is not Chayim Nisa. So if the Shor Shehorgezev Shor Shehorgezev Behemoth is not Chayim Nisa. Only a horig, only if the shor kills a human being. So the Rambam quotes that's a Mishnah. That niskaven, if the shor was niskaven laharog es ha-peima v'horga es ha-odom, or niskavno laharog es ha-nochri v'horga es ha-yisrael, so then the shor does not get skila. But if the shor was niskaven laharog ezeh, v'horga ezeh, then the shor does get skila. Even though the Rambam paskens like Reb Shimon, and according to Reb Shimon, niskaven laharog ezeh, v'horga ezeh is potter. And we say Kemisa Banu Kach Misa Shor. You carry over all the dinim from Retzeach to Shor Shorges Adam. So that's a problem. The Nesi Kelim worked very hard on that. Long Mekeves HaMishnah doesn't really. It just said the Stam Sugya, blah blah blah. So it doesn't give a valid answer. Doesn't give a good answer. How did the Rambam know? How did he know in the first place to pass like Reb Shimon? He was studying too much Zohar that day when he was writing that section. Why did he decide to pass like Reb Shimon over there? And then over here, on Mem Aleph, on the Sugya, Skam La'argazev, Hargazev, by the shore. So here he does not pass like Reb Shimon. Ardaf also does not pass like Reb Shimon. The Gemara says, according to the Tana Reb Shimon, my time is Kiktolo. Boshes is the same as Misa. Maktol Adem Skavan Le'dichsi Barolav Akom Balavat Shiz Kavan Lo'i. Reb Shimon holds his Skam La'argazev, Hargazev, Potter. Boshes Nami, Reb Shimon's opinion would be Adem Echavan Lo'i. Dichsi B'shilcha Yodo. The Gemara says, according to Reb Shimon, just like the Darshan Zeposik by Ritzeah, Lord of Love, the Kamalov means, is Kabbalah, is ever hard as Potter, he would Darshan the same by Boshas. So if the Rambam already passes like Reb Shimon by Ritzeah, why doesn't he pass on all the way like Reb Shimon by Shorat Niskal in the Perigud and Hilchas Niskim Amen? Why doesn't he pass on over here in Boshas like Reb Shimon? So the whole thing is tamua. The Rambam Shita is very tamua, very problematic. Rav Yehuda Shita is ain lavod in boshes. That's the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Shita is ain. Where is that Mishnah? Next Mishnah. Two Mishnahs. Rav Yehuda Amar ain lavod in boshes on peizayinim and al. What does it mean? An Eved should be Eish is Chayiv, except he just can't collect because he doesn't have any assets. Eved v'ishah pigyosam rahem shachav b'achem tum, they have no assets. Unless he has a bank account from before. Mishal melach hazman. If nishtachar ha'eved, is chayom l'sham, he will collect. So Eved yesh laboshes if the Eved is Eved k'naini, talking about Eved k'naini, is mevayish somebody else, he has to pay in principle, in theory, hotish kengel. So likishay yarviach, when he'll make some money, when he'll be free, he'll make some money, then we're going to collect. But hamavayisha sa'eved, that's a machlekes. Reb Yehuda's opinion is ain lavad and bosh. It's based on a pasuk. It says ochiv. It says ki natzu anashim yachdav ish v'yachiv. V'kov eishes ha'echad l'hatzol es isha miyad makeu. Sholcha yodav echzika b'mavusha. That's the parasha of boshes. The Pshuto Shel Mikra doesn't say a word about Boshet. The Pshuto Shel Mikra goes that she's a Raidev. She wants to kill the other man in order to save her husband. So it says, Lo Soches Einecha, the Katzo says Kapa Lo Soches Einecha. What do you mean the Katzo says Kapa? She's a Raidev. So if Yochel Atzil Lebecha Meivor, if you can save, she has no right to she has no right to try to kill this man because he's fighting with her husband. He's not trying to kill her husband. They're not raping to each other. No one's trying to kill each other, just trying to fight, to harm each other. So she goes and she kills one of them. So she's a raider. So the Pasuk says, you have a right to kill her. If you can save the Nirdav's life by only cutting off her hand, it's good. Makatzo says kapa. And if not, so then Makatzo says kapa means all of it. And the Rambam in Hilchus Rotzeach, in Perek Aleph in Hilchus Rotzeach, the Rambam quotes the Dinim of Roidev, so he quotes that Pasuk. Mitzvah lahatzis al nirdav miyad roidev shenema vakatzis has kapa lo sal chasei necho. That's the Pshut Rishon Mikra. And the Torah Shebal Peh was mamis, loaded down a whole additional interpretation in this Pasuk. It doesn't, the Fi Pshuta doesn't say it all. That the woman is v'shol chayod, v'hechazikim emavushav, she wants to be mevayish, the man, and she thinks by embarrassing him, by humiliating him, she'll save her husband, he'll stop fighting. So the pasuk says, Lo sachas einecha, the katzos says kapa, not to be taken literally. You chop off her arm. Doesn't mean you chop off her arm. It means you make it pay, boshes. You make it pay for the boshes. So since that pasuk says, Ki not sanashim, how does it go again? Dvorim chokhe. Here it's on daf pei chesam and alf. Ki not sanashim yachtiv ish viyochi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the word ochiv has the connotation mishi yesh lo achva yotze evit nani shein lo achva. How do you know evit nani is ein lo achva? Because it says shvilochem poyim achamor am hadom el achamor. That evit ein lo yachas. So that's the one pshat in Rashi. Evit ein lo yachas. That's why we say that he's not called mishi ein lo ochiv. Mishi ein lo achva. The first pshat in Rashi, mishi ein lo achva. He's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. Yesh lo achva means a Yisrael is allowed to marry into a Jewish family. And evit nani is ein lo achva. He's not allowed to marry into the Jewish family. Second pshat in Rashi is ein lo achva, the Rebbe ein lo yachas, and the Rabbanim disagree. They say ochiv b'mitzvus. Every knight is chayv mitzvus, so he is ochiv b'mitzvus. So we pass like the Rabbanim probably. Again, yochid v'rabim halachik rab. The din should be like the Rabbanim. That hamavayish eso eved, you pay all the chamisha dvarim. Hamavayish every knight, you pay all the chamisha dvarim, including boshes. Why shouldn't you? Rabbi Yehuda holds that avadim ain't lahem boshes. So despite the fact that Rabbi Yehuda holds avadim ain't lahem boshes, the Gemara has a brice over here. On the bottom of Pei Vavim and Aleph, this Kavein Levayesh Es HaEved Ubiyesh Es HaBen Chorin, this price that we're working on, the fourth white line on Pei Vavim and Aleph. So the price that says this Kavein Levayesh, fifth white line, this Kavein Levayesh Es HaEved Ubiyesh Es HaBen Chorin Nosen LeBen Chorin Demei Boshto Shalevin. So the Gemara asks, it can't be like Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda holds Hamavayish Sevet is not chayv, so there's nothing to discuss. And Mar says no. Rabbi Yehuda says Hamavayish Sevet you don't pay. But here, the end of the story was Niskaven Levayish Sevet the Bishas Haben Chayrin. So it was Mavayish the Ben Chayrin. The only thing is he say you don't pay the Ben Chayrin the May Boshes of a Ben Chayrin since he was on in Niskaven Levayish Sevet. True, if he would have done that, he would have paid nothing. Because ain lava the Boshes. The pasuk says Achiv. Prat levik nine she'ein lo achva, but still there is a boshes, there is a way to assess, there is a shuma. So even though Rabbi Yehuda says that Eved, kikomer Rabbi Yehuda, four lines from the bottom of the daf, kikomer Rabbi Yehuda in lavad and boshes lemeis v'lu. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't pay the boshes to the Eved, aval lemeisham, shamina b'hu, but you do make a shuma, you do assess how much would the boshes have been. If one would have been Mavaish the Eved, if you are in the Skala Vaish the Eved, you have to pay to the Ben Ben-Khurin, they may Boshe Salah, that she make a Shuma like that. That's what it says in the Gemara. So Tosis points out Akasha. The bottom Tosis points out Akasha. Well, we have it did by Ritzicha, this Kavin, we Paskin, the Ravid Paskins, we don't Paskin anything, the Ramam, the Ravid Paskin. So the Ravid Paskins, like the Rabban and this Kavin, the Haragazev, the Haragazev, Chayev, if Zeh and Zeh, both Yisraelim. The Skav Laharag Reuven, Baharag Shimon. And Reuven and Shimon are both Yisraelim. So then the Ravid Paskins Chayiv means. But the Skav Laharag Esa Nochri, Baharag Esa Yisrael, the Skav Laharag Esa Peima, Baharag Esa Yisrael is not Chayiv. That all the Tanoim agree. And that carries over to the Behem also. That's the Ramam also masking to that. The Ramam quotes that din from whatever Daf it was we were looking at, Daf Mem, Omer Aleph, that Niskavein If the behema was niskavna laharagas habehema bahargas adam, or niskavna laharagas ha nochri bahargas ha Yisrael, then the behema doesn't get misa because in misa banakach misa short, we carry over all the dinner from Ritzicha to misa's behema. That was the Gemara before. And the Gemara seems to say over here the Rav Shimon carries over the dinim from Ritzicha to Boshes. The Rabbanan also carry over, but there's nothing to carry over. And this Kavan Larag is ever Harag Zeh Chayiv. So what are we going to say? This Kavan Larag is ever Biyash is also going to be Chayiv. But the Rabbanan agreed that this Kavan Larag is ever Harag Zeh Potter if the first Zeh is the Behem or a Nachri, because that's not a Ritzicha Shal Chiyuv. So this Kavan Larag in a fashion by Odom. Kavan Larag, somebody with his no Inish Misa. Boharag missed the base where there is a Chiyuv Misa. So then all the Tanaim agree that you're potter, and the Gemara says you carry over all the dinim from Ritzicha to Boshes. So how does the Gemara say within Rabbi Yehuda? Ein lavod in Boshes, lemeis v'lehu. You don't pay Boshes, but niskaven levayishes ha'eved, u'biyishes ha'ben chorin, then you pay to the ben chorin to make Boshes shel eved. How can you make such a distinction? That's if Rabbi Yehuda holds ein lavod in Boshes, so it's niskaven levayish, an individual who's not a bar hohev collecting Boshes. There's a ptur, so even this kavan levayish zeh biyish zeh should be potter. That's Tosis Kasha. So Tosis says there ain't no such din that you carry over all the dinim. There's no such halacha. You carry over all the dinim from Mitzicha to Boshes. No, the Gemara says that according to Rav Shimon, you don't carry over. The style of drasha, the same. Each Tana has his own style of making a drasha. So just like Rav Shimon's style is v'arav lo v'kom alav has the connotation of achis kavan lo. And the mashmois of that pasuk is this kavan laharag is ever harag zeh potter according to Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon would darshan the same over here because it says v'sholch yada v'hechzika bimevushav the yud vav hechzika bimevushav sounds like achis kavan lo. The same style drasha makes over there, makes over here, but nothing carries over from Mitzicha to Boshes. You need a pasuk by Boshes also, but this kavan levayish. So this kavan laharag is alav bar chiyuve harag is haben chiyuve. There's a pasuk by Ritzicha, but here by Boshes there is no such pasuk, and there's no reason to say all the dinim of Ritzicha should carry over to Boshes. By the behema there is a pasuk, the gambol of Yumas. I'll show you talk of the gambol of Yumas. What does it mean the gambol of Yumas? The Torah Shabbat Peh had a tradition that the balosher is not chayiv misa. So what does it mean gambol of Yumas? They said kemisa balo kach misa shor. You only give the shor misa the same way you would give the bala misa. What do you mean the same way? You need a bez number 23 for a shor. You need a bez number 23. There is no din v'hitzilu eidah. You don't have to be mehapech v'schuso. But still, you need the formality of a bez number 23. And then you say, iskam laharikas ala bar chiyuba, barakas ala bar chiyuba, just like by Odom, there's a pasuk. So it can be sabar and companies are shor. That din carries over to shor shahara, to the din of shor and iskam. But there is no pasuk that says, by Boshes, you should carry over all the dinim from Mitzicha to Boshes. No pasuk, so there's no such din. But the Gemara said, according to Reb Shimon, just like Reb Shimon l'taimei, kik tola, mak tola adam iska, it's Reb Shimon l'shitasa, it doesn't mean Reb Shimon l'shitasa, there's a pasuk by Ritzicha, we carry it over. No, you don't carry anything over from Mitzicha to Boshes. Just like Reb Shimon's style of drasha, his mentality is, that he holds the darshan, v'arav lo v'kom alav, with the mashmos achi iskaven lo, so to by Boshes, we should darshan echzika bimulushav, we should darshan the same. That's what Tosis says. That's what Tosis says on the bottom of the daf. The Or Sameach, and the Sefer on the Rama, makes a suggestion, maybe one can dingzach with Tosis. He said, he gets the impression from the Gemara not like Tosis. My time, kiktolam, aktolam, and the miskaven le dechziv. He thinks in the Gemara means that you're carrying it over. I think Gemara has a separate pasuk here, v'shol chiyodav hachzikah b'mehushav. I don't know. So that's Tosis HaChacha. What do you need a separate pasuk here? Why don't you just say, you carry over from Boshes? I don't know. So the Yosemech thinks that no, the simple reading of the Gemara is that you're carrying over the din from Boshes, from Ritzicha to Boshes. Aye, but by Ritzicha there is a din, niskam laharag hasalab bar chiyuvah. Laharag hasalab bar chiyuvah is pater. So why shouldn't that din carry over to Boshes? And the Gemara says it does not. Mar says Rabbi Yehuda holds ein lavad in boishes. If you mevayish an eved, you don't pay. But in this kavan levayish so eved, the biyish has ben chorin, you do pay. That's how the Gemara says. Kikom Rabbi Yehuda in Labar the Boishes Lemeis Velahu. The fourth line before the bottom, and the third line before the bottom of the daf. You don't pay Boishes to the Eved. But Lemeisham Shamina Behu. You make a Shuma. It's Kam Levayishes to the Eved. The Bishes Ben Chorin. You do pay. So why do you pay? But Ein Labar the Boishes. So it's a Kavanah Shel Ptur. So the Yosameach writes, based on the Gemara that we had on Chav Zayinim and Aleph, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says on the top of Amud Beis, Yoni Chayev Boshes Atchihei Miskavein Atchihei Miskavein Lema Atchihei Miskavein Lema. So the Mishnah doesn't spell it out. So the Gemara earlier, we went through the Gemara Chav Zayinim and Aleph. The Gemara says you don't necessarily have to be Miskavein Levayish as long as you're Miskavein Lehazik. Oh, so he says, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Ein Lavod HaBoshes, only goes on Boshes, doesn't go on Nezik Tzar, Ribui, and Shevet. The Mishnah says on the next daf, on Pei Zayinim and Aleph, Chayev Bevek Nani Shal Chaveiroi, Chayev Bekulam, you pay Nezik Tzar, Ribui, Shevet, and Boshes, pay everything to the Yodon. And he has to use the Ribui to heal the Ebed, Tosis quotes from the Gemara, Gittin Daf Yibdeis. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Lavod HaBoshes, you don't pay Boshes, the Arbo Advarim, you do pay Nezik Tzar, Ribui, Shevet, you do pay Boshes, you don't pay. So Niskaben Levayeshes HaEved Ubiyeshes HaBen Chorin, it does. You don't have to be Miskaben Levayesh, as long as you're Miskaben LaHazik, is also enough in order to be Chayev Boshes. So Hezek, you, if you're Chayev LaNevek Nani, you are Chayev Nishalem Arbo Advar. So when he's Niskaben to chop off the arm of the Eved, and chops off the arm of the Ben Chorin, his Kavana was a Kavana to do something Shalchiyuv. There would have been a chiyuv. There wouldn't have been a chiyuv to pay boshes, but there would have been a chiyuv to pay the other abo advar. And since the kavana was a kavana shel chiyuv vis-a-vis the abo advarim, so that's, and then he was the hizik es ha in the chava ben chorin. So I say he even has to pay the boshes also. That's not called the kavana shel ptur. That's what the Arsam Yad says. So what? So levay nafkamina. He said the same thing as Tosis. Bottom line, same thing. So he suggests that Lachapan Afkamina, what about Niskavan Levayishes Anochri, Niskavan Lachval Benochri, Bechoval BeYisro? So he thinks that there's a din, I don't know, we didn't finish the perek yet. He assumes that there is a din that Achevel Bebeknaini is not only Pata from Boshes, Pata from Meridim, Pata from Moli Abodvar, Pata from Moli Hamishadvar. I don't know, we're halfway through the perek, we've got to keep our eyes and our ears open to see if there is such a din. That Achevel Benochri doesn't pay anything. So he says, if you'll be Niskaben Lachbo Benochri, Bechoval BeYisrael, he thinks that everyone will agree that you don't pay. I was Chaval BeYisrael. No, you won't pay the Nezik Tzarip, you won't pay the Boshes. You say, you pay Nezik Tzarip and Shevis, you pay because of the Mudliyon, the Bem Shegik, Bem Amazin. But the Boshes, he won't pay because Boshes, you have to have Achi Niskaben and it has to be a Kavan Shalchir. So since his intention was Lachbo Benochri, the Asamech assumes that for sure you're not chayiv. Not only are you not chayiv boshes, you're not even chayiv the abodvar. You don't pay anything. That's what he assumes. So that's called the kavana shel ptur. So once there's a kavana shel ptur, then you're not chayiv boshes. You have to have either achi's kavan levayish or achi's kavan lahazik. So it has to be achi's kavan and kavana shel chiyuv. So in this kavan lachvo bevik nine bechavah beYisrael, that's called the kavana shel chiyuv. Why? Because you chayiv abodvar. Even though you're not chayiv boshes, but if you're niskaben lachvo benochri, that's called the kavana shel ptur. And Tosis would say in such a case, not so. Tosis says in such a case, you're chayiv all the chamisha dvarim. The abo dvarim, he agrees with Tosis. The nezik tzar ripa shevis. The whole disagreement is only on the boshes. No, the case is never going to come up in a million years. Niskaben lachvo ba'akum v'chavo b'yisrael. Okay. So that's the shalat. Yos Sameach picks on the bottom Tosis. He thinks he outsmarted Tosis. He thinks he has a different mouth. I think it's not coming out of the mice and this coming lach of a back and the cover of Israel. Maybe?
You know, what about Shalom
Mokum Nezek? You're not Mokum Nezek again. If what? If you're Mavayish, Shalom Mokum Nezek. Shalom Mokum Nezek, yeah. Only to be Mavayish. Then the Yosemech would say, you're not Chayef. Yeah. The Chayef. This coming just Levayish is Ebek 90. No Chavol at all. Ubiyish is HaYisrael. So that's a Kavanah Shal Ptur. There's no Chayef at all. He didn't want to make any nezik at all, just boshes. So that would be kavanah shel ptur. So there's some ech would say a chiddush in such a case. You're not chayv boshes. The Gemara says that you are chayv. So he says no. The Gemara only goes where there was hezek also, where there was kabbalah. So that's called the kavanah shel chiyuv. Fantastic chiddush in the Gemara. This price, a fantastic chiddush. Iskaven lo, niskaven lo vayisha sakot, vayisha sakot, lo san gol, lo me boshta shal kotten. Wow. Because you have to have achi iskaven, and it was only kavana for the smaller amount. Chiddush. Okay, then the Mishnah has on Amid Beis. Amid vayisha sayosha in iskaven. The man is sleeping and you spit on him, or you put blanket that says this man is an idiot or something, or you undress him and everybody's laughing and he's sleeping away the whole time, but at the time he doesn't realize that they embarrassed him. So the Mishnah says Yechayv. So the Gemara has a Shaila, boy Rababa Bar Mamal, a fascinating Shaila. Bisha Yosha and Meis Mahu. What's the din? I was Mavaish someone while he's asleep, and at the time he never realized that what happened, and then he dies in his sleep. At the time I was Mavaish him, he was alive. But he dies in his sleep, so am I mechuyif to pay or not? What's the shaila? So the Gemara has two variations of how to word the suffix. Amar Abzvid hacha kamen boile. Then the Gemara is going to have on the fourth wide line, or the fifth wide line, Rapapa amar hacha kamen boile. Rapapa disagrees with Abzvid. There are two versions of what was the suffix of Rababa Mamama. We should check. I think Rababa Mamama lived in Eretz Yisrael, if I'm not mistaken. So he wasn't around. He lived over there. So someone came from Eretz, they said Rababa Bar Mamal had a suffix. So the two Amoraim were not sure in Bavel what was this, the kudus suffix. So Rav Zvid says, Hacha Kamen Boile, he has a suffix about the nature of boshes. Is boshes like nezek, like tsar, have to pay for the suffering that the man he suffered tsar? Nezek, he doesn't have an arm anymore. He's worth less if he would sell him as an evet bashuk, ripui. Sheves, there's a hefset over here. You have to pay lemalei sachisorin. So boshes also, he suffered humiliation, so that's why you have to pay him. It's a tashlum in ben adam lachaver because he suffered embarrassment. But over here, the man died. He was b'yishiyosh in a mace. He never woke up that he should realize that he should be humiliated. So should I say hachi kamboile mishum kisufahu? The payment of boshes is similar to the payment of the other abodvar. It's because he suffered humiliation, and here he never suffered. He never suffered. Maybe boshes is different from the other four. If he were to sell himself as an evet, he'd be worth less now. He has doctor bills. He lost money. They docked him from his pay. He didn't come to work for a whole month. He was missing his leg till he recovered with the plastic leg, whatever. So the mamash hefset nezik tzaripish sheves, but boshes is a different din. Boshes maybe is not really ben adam lachaver to pay for the hefset. Maybe it's a knas. Maybe it's because mishum zilusu, because I was mavazeh him, not because he suffered humiliation. He suffered embarrassment, not to pay for the suffering that he experienced, right? To pay for my avera that I was mezalzel in the kovod abrius of another human being or another Yisrael. That's the first suggestion, Rav Zvid's suggestion. What the Nekudas HaSafik of Rababa Bar Mamal is. Rav Papa has a different way of wording the Safik. Papa says, Hacha Kambayla, Mishum Kisufa Didehu V'ham Islay. Should I say that the payment? For sure, Rav Papa assumes the one side in Rav Zvid's Chakir. Rav Zvid wasn't sure whether Boshes, the Yisrael Achiv of Boshes, is to pay for humiliation or to pay for the Avera that I was Mavaza, human being. I was mezalzel in the kovod abrius of the person. But Papa says, no, you pay for the suffering that the person experienced. You pay for the hefsid that he lost. But he's not sure whose hefsid. Is it kisufa didei? Because he suffered. He died gishtarma. He never experienced the humiliation. He didn't wake up. He never found out. Maybe whenever he is alive and he suffers the humiliation, then the din is that I'm mechuyif to pay him the boshes. And if he'll die before he gets to collect it, it goes to his yarshim. Who are the yarshim? The sons, the children as opposed to the wife, and the sons as opposed to the daughters, etc., etc. You look at Yeshnachlin, see who gets the Yerusha. So that's one side. Should I say that you only pay boshes if there's kisufa didei? And if he dies before the din Torah, before the collection, so the right to collect goes to the Yerushim, or the mammon goes to the Yerushim. Maybe there's a din whenever you can't pay boishes to him because he never experienced the boishes. Maybe the din shifts now that if the humiliation was suffered by all the members of the family, so there's a direct chiyuv to all the members of the family. Not that the chiyuv was to him. Chiyuv is only to him if it's kisufa didei. And he never had kisufa. Hamaisla, he died before he experienced the kisufa. Rapapa holds there is no other tzad to say mishum zivusa. So he's suggesting maybe it's mishum kisufa all of bnei hamishpacha. So we pointed out kisufa for the bnei hamishpacha. There's a din that the Mishnah has a din later. If I spit at somebody, the higia boharo. Who is that? Mishnah tzadik amar aleph rokak the higia boharo. If I spit. And the spit that I did is a humiliation to the other person. He gia baharo. Or if I slap him. If I just humiliate the person, I say, you're an idiot, you're a dope, you're a fool, you never succeed in life. That's Boshe's dwarf. So Boshe's dwarf, you don't pay. That's like Rama ben Ezek and Pot. It's a terrible thing. Rama ben Ezek and Azasar. Gemara says in Baba Basra, in the second pair, Zosa Meris, Rama ben Ezek and Azasar, but you don't pay. So you're also Boshe's to humiliate someone is certainly an Avera. The question is, where is the Avera? Okay, the Gemara has Mam Pnei Chavero. For sure there's an Aver. Maybe it's worse than other Averes that we. Chorba Machaver is also an Aver. Maybe to be Mivarish is worse than it. So to be Mivarish, someone certainly is an Aver, but the question is would you have to pay? So the Gemara says you only pay if the Boshes is in the context of a Maisa Chavola. Chavola has to be Begufo. If I just humiliate him by screaming and dancing and cursing and saying negative things about him, then that's Boshes Dvarm, so you're not chayv to pay. So what Rokak v'higia bo harok? So the Gemara has a fascinating comment on Daf Tzadik Aleph and Aleph. Omer ha-popo lo shana ola bo, avol b'big do lo. If I spit at the person to show that he's an idiot, that he's I don't recognize him as any as a human being with chashivas. I spit on him and his spit lands on his beged, then I'm not chayv. It has to land on his body. But his whole body is all covered over with the gun. So you're hardly ever going to have to pay. Only rokak v'higia bo harok, literally. Why? Because he holds that you're only chayv boshes if you did a maisa chavola. One opinion was that you only pay boshes for mokam nezik. If there's no mokam nezik, then it's not called a maisa chavola. You don't pay boshes. That opinion was not accepted. That was the machlokes we had in the beginning of the Perek Ben Azai against Rebbe. The Gemara said the Mishnah says b'feirush one way that there is boshes afilu shalavim makam nezik. So even though we say there is boshes afilu shalavim makam nezik, but it has to be in the context of a chavala. So we hold that if you did an act of boshes v'higia bo begufo, so that's called a maisa chavala. Even though there's no hepsid, I didn't chop off anyone's arm, and he didn't go down in value to sell him as a slave. So I'll call upon him, what does the Gemara say? Then you need dafke boshes. Boshes dwarm is potter. You only chai boshes if you did a maisa chavola on the person's body. So how can the Gemara say that if I'm a vayish, a person, and then he dies, we have to pay boshes to the other members of the family, not b'toras Yerusha, not b'toras Yerusha. No, Yerusha means that the Nechbal himself, the one who was Nizbayish, was entitled to collect the money, and he died before he had a chance to collect it, or before he had a chance to bring the other party to the Din Torah. So now the Yerushim have the right to collect, and the Yerushim have the right to bring, to press the charges, to bring up the whole case. No, the Gemara is suggesting over here that there's only Boshes if he suffered Bizyonis. There's only Boshes if the person actually had Kisufa. So Bishur Yoshin Ameis, he never had any Kisufa, so there's not any Chiyah Boshes to him. So he had no Chiyah Boshes, he should go over Birusha. So what's the Tzad Sofik over here? Bishur Yoshin Ameis, maybe is Chayiv. Maybe the Boshes goes directly to the Bnei HaMishpacha, not B'toras Yerusha, directly. How can it go directly to Bnei HaMishpacha? But he never did a Chavala in the Bnei HaMishpacha. It's like Rokak Bobi Yigiyah Harok B'Bigdo. It's Le Yigiyah B'Guf Adam. How can he say there's a direct chiyah boshes to the other members of the mishpacha if the maisa boshes was done begufa shala ameis hazeh? So the only one shaykh have a chiyah to pay to is him. How can you say the chiyah is to pay to the bnei mishpacha? So the Gemara seems to be entertaining, according to Rav Papa's interpretation of the suffix of Rababa Bamamo, he's raising a fascinating possibility. Shemboshes Bnei HaMishpacha, I treat all of Bnei HaMishpacha as one entity, as one unit, as if you would have one person that has five different bodies, and I did a Maisa Boshes to one of the five bodies. You don't have any person with five bodies. Bnei HaMishpacha. How far does it go, Bnei HaMishpacha? I don't know, we never have such a concept. We have a concept of Kroivim. Kroivim Apsulim La'edis. How far does Kroivim go? Possibly, Yim Salavis Albanim, Abanim Yim Salavis. The Gemara says the Avis refers to two brothers. The Pasik, the Pshuta Shal Mikra, the Yim Salavis Albanim, Abanim Yim Salavis. The Pshuta Shal Mikra goes on not killing children for the sins of the parents and not punishing the parents for the sins of the children. And Chidush Aranas Haredin points out that's a Pasik in Novi, in Tzubim. Where's that Pasik? Malachim Beis. That they fulfill the Pasik that says in Luchum, Shal Yim Salavis Albanim. So the Pshuta Shal Mikra, no one's budging from the Pshuta. Pshuta Shal Mikra is Emes. In addition to the Pshuta Shal Mikra, the Torah Shal Bapeh has an additional level of interpretation. Like on the other pasuk, Hechazika Bim Vusha B'Katzoy says Kapa. So the Pshuta Shal Mikra is certainly Emes. The Rambam quotes it in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Matzeach. That's the Parsha of Roidev. And in addition to the Pshuta Shal Mikra, it also refers to the Torah Shal Bapeh gives an additional level of interpretation. It refers to the payment of Dmei Boshes. Here also. Pshut HaMikra says in Sefer Melachim that it goes on not punishing the parents for the chatoim of the children, not punishing the children for the chatoim of the parents. In addition to that, the Gemara says an additional interpretation. So who are the bottom, who are the others? And the Gemara says the bottom are the two, there was a grandfather had two sons. So the two sons, the two bottom, that's what we call Rishon Merishon. So that's called Abbas. We call them Abbas. And they're Banim, our first cousins. So Liyum, so Abbas, our Banim, you can't kill not the father nor the uncle based on the edus of his son or his nephew. Banim, Liyum, so al Abbas, and you can't kill the nephews based on the testimony of their father or their uncle. So the father with the son is considered like Rishon Bishani. And then the Mashmoz of the Pasuk also is a Banim Ahadadi. And one cousin with the other cousin also lo yumsu. So two cousins is considered Sheni B'Sheni. The two brothers is considered Rishon B'Rishon. The father with the son is considered Rishon B'Sheni. So we establish all the dinim who's considered a Korav over there. That's as far as who's considered a Korav. Which two people are Korav to each other? Here we're coming up with a new concept. We're talking about a concept that the whole family is treated as if it's one unit, one entity. As if you have one human being with two bodies. How can you have such a thing? One human being with two bodies. That's what Rav Chaim says, and many others say like that. The Gemara has a machlokes with Uba Yerachimai, Uba Lav Yerachimai. The Gemara has a machlokes by human beings. A woman is pregnant, and then the baby is born later. So when she was pregnant, you treat the Uba as if he's a separate person or not. Uba Yerachimai, Lav Yerachimai. And the same thing by behemoth, the Gemara says. Amagdash behemoth le korban, and the behemoth is muberes. So do you treat the mother and the Uber as if they're two different karbanas? It's like Higdish Nechatois Lachrais. A Magdish Achatos has to be in a cave. An Oila has to be a Zohar, Achatos has to be in a cave, and a Shlomim can be either Zohar or a cave. So let's say you have an Akeva. He's mafrished in a cave Lachatos, and it happens that the Akeva is pregnant within a cave. And then it's born, the Vlad is born. So you treat the Vlad as Vlad is Kachim. That's one parsha in the Chumash. If I was Magdusha Korban, and then it becomes pregnant later, and then it gives birth to a Vlad, as Magdusha, and then a year goes by, and then it gives birth to a Vlad, so there's a special din, there's a special status given to Vlad of Kachim. Special parsha in the Chumash, special parsik. Indeed, in the end of the Tamurin, the Ramam about Vlad is Kachim. So the Gemara is not sure. Do you say Uber Yer? The Gemara has an Achlagi Satanan. Do you call it Uber Yerechimai? I was Magdish the mother. There's only one Hakdosha's carbon. Then the Vlad is born later. That's Vlad is Kachim. It's governed with the rules of Vlad is Kachim here. Or should I say, when is it called Vlad is Kachim? If the Magdish a Behema, which is not pregnant, and becomes pregnant later after the Hakdosha, then the Vlad is called Vlad is Kachim. But if a Magdish a Behema Muveres for a Chatos, so it's like Higdish Techat, if you all do Balav Yerachimah, so the two different Gufim, so that's like Higdish Techatos Lacharas. Let's say, Achatos is not Bob and Edom and Adob. So it can't be Magdish Tuchatos. The Gemara says it can't be Magdish Shtechatos Lacharas. I'm Magdish in case the first I'm Magdish Achatos. Then I'm afraid it may get lost. I'll have to bring another one. So I'm Magdish the second one as a backup. They don't say the second one is not Chal at all. He's not chayiv anymore. No, he didn't bring the first one yet. He is chayiv. He's not chayiv to be magdish the second one, but he's chayiv lahakriv. He didn't hikriv anything yet. He just was magdish. So the Gemara says it is possible to be magdish techatos laharais. Magdish the second one, just in case the first one gets lost. I'll bring the second one. What happens if the first one didn't get lost? And he was makriv it, l'shem chatos, he's miskaper. So he can't be makriv the second one, l'shem chatos. It's not bo ben edim and edova. So what do? So that's a din that the Mishnayos and Shkolim quote, Azum Medrash Dorish Yehoyada Akoyim. He's a biblical figure. He's in the Haftarah Parsha Shkolim. So the Gemara learns out from that Parsha, Haftarah Shkolim, in Sefer Malachim. Also, Yehoyada Akoyim is in Sefer Malachim. He came up with a din based on a pasuk in Chumash that he darshan. A drasha from the Tkufas Bayis Rishon. This is an unusual thing. But the Mishnah in Shkolim recorded Zu Medrash Dorish Yehoyada Akoyim that Moisa Chatas Kore Voila. If you have a leftover chatos and you can't be magrivit l'shem chatos, so you magrivit is an oil. If a guy was magnus a chatos and he drops dead, chatos shemesa by leho, so we have halacha moshe mesina lemisa ozlo. You have to lock it up in a room and let it die from starvation. If you, what else? If you're mafish a chatos and you have to be magnus a chatos within the first year, just like a korban pesach has to be bashnasa, so chatos has to be bashnasa. So what if I'm magdush a chatos and I'm lazy? I didn't go to be on the regal shol shugol. I live in New York. Tosfos says the other regal is only for those who live in Eretz Yisrael. You live in the chutzlo, it's not such a big tzioni, so he doesn't go. So a whole year goes by, and the behem is already no good for a chatos. A chatos shavashnasa. So the Gemara says chatos shavashnasa is also the misa oslo. It's no good. That's because there are. There are five specific, the Mishnah and Tmura records, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, five special chatos hamesas, that if you have a special case of a chatos, and you can't be makrif, it is a chatos, then Halacha Moshe Mesinai takes over, lemiso ozlo, you lock it up in a room, let it die from starvation. But if it's not one of those five cases, so we would treat it as Moshe chatos, korev oilo, let's say he sets aside $3,000 for a korban chatos, he has no idea. He gets a chatos for $200. So what does he do with the remainder of the $3,000 that he set aside? So the Mishnah said, the Gemara says, Moisa chatos korbanos, all the leftover money, you buy korbanos oila for the Beis HaMikdash. The Chomish chatos hamesis would have also been Moisa chatos korbanos. If not for the halacha l'moshe misina, it would have all been Moisa chatos korbanos. So on that, so again, so the Gemara has a machlokes satanai, but uba yarechima, uba lav yarechima. The Gemara has a machlokes by women who are pregnant with a baby. The Gemara has a machlokes by behemoths, whether uba yarechima, uba lav yarechima. So Abchaim explains based on Gemaras, and this is such a good pshat that works out so well, so the 10 other gedolim are mechavenan there onto this. The Mikdash David has the same, and the Chazanish has the same, and his type of figured out on his own without quoting. He doesn't even quote. He didn't know what it said in the Chazanish. He didn't read the Chazanish. He just learned Gemara and Tosfos. He didn't learn Achrayim. So he didn't look in the Chazanish. So a lot of times he says the exact same thing as the Chazanish. He worked out all the logical possibilities and came to the same conclusion as his brother-in-law, the Chazanish, did. So they all have the same, and others have it as well. That even if you hold that what? That Uber lav yerechimo, by the Adam and by the behemoth, it doesn't mean it's two different people. No, it doesn't mean it's two different animals. It's one person with two bodies. Uba Yerechema means it's one person with one body. Uba Lav Yerechema just means it's one person with two bodies. So there is one of the Greek philosophers writes like that, that if you have a very close friend, so it's considered as if it's one person with two bodies. I forgot already which one of the Greek philosophers writes like that. So al pi halacha, that's not accepted. That's avart. But al pi halacha, Reb Chaim and all the others claim that there is such a thing over here. If you hold la halacha by Adam and by Behemah, that uber lav yerechimai, it doesn't mean it's two people. It doesn't mean it's two animals. It means it's one animal with two gufim, or one person with two bodies. So here the Gemara can conceive of a possibility. You have 10 people, 10 bodies, but it's one entity. What says one entity? You can't say it's one person. The parents, grandparents, children, cousins. You can't say it's one person, one mishpacha. So the Gemara conceives of a svare Papa claims that this is the baya of the suffix of Rababa Mamamu. Mahu. My comment, Rapapa says, you pay because of the kisufa, not because of the zilusa, not because of the avera being mevazin someone. You pay because of the humility, the humiliation that the nechbal suffered, that he endured. But the suffix of Rababa Mamamu was, do you only consider his personal humiliation? Maisa Chavala was done to him. So normally that's it. You only pay to him. Or maybe a bishyosh and a mei, so he never had an opportunity to experience the humiliation. So maybe you, the chiyuv, the ikke chiyuv is chal, not b'toras yirusha. It can't be b'toras yirusha. He himself never suffered the humiliation. He never experienced the kisufa. Since the kisufa was experienced by the other, shar b'nei ha-mishpacha, so he raises, adil ha-mishim boshes mishpacha. Maybe he mechuyuv to pay, because it's considered as if you have a whole group of people, many different individuals, but they constitute one body vis-a-vis mishpacha, and therefore if you're choyvel on one of them, the chiyuv to pay boshes is chal to all of them. This is a fantastic idea. So the question, well, how far does this go? Who's considered mishpacha? Maybe the same people who are considered kroivim, all the people who are considered kroivim are considered mishpacha. So the wife, the spouse, and the children, the sons, the daughters, parents, grandparents, grandchildren, how far do you go? Cousins, how far do you go? All the people are pasalaitis. That's a whole broad category of people. Whoever is pasalaitis. It's an interesting concept that in halacha there should be a concept of mishpacha. Mishpacha should constitute an entity that we treat of mishpacha. The radinim of kroivim, kroivim are pasalaitis. There's a din of Goel Adam. There's a din of Goel Adam. There's a din that Kroivim get Yerusha. So the Rambam writes, who's the Goel Adam? Goel Adam is a machlokes satanim, whether mitzvah or reshus. We pass on reshus, but still there is an institution of Goel Adam. So how do you determine whom do we declare as the Goel Adam? So the Rambam writes, we don't know what the marker, we don't have any more. The Rambam writes, whoever is Roy Liosha. Misha Roy Liosha has a status of Goel Adam. So we have dinim of mishpacha sometimes, we have dinim of Kroivim, who's considered a Korav. But we never came across such a chiddush din that you treat all the members of the family bevas achas. Misha roi liyorsha, it's going to be one person, a few people, we're going to knock everybody off. Not everybody's going to get the yerusha. He's going to treat all the members of the family as if they're one big entity, and since they were all humiliated, so the maisa chavala that's done to one of them is considered as if it was done to the gufa of the mishpacha. We pointed out that there is a concept of halacha lemaisa. There is such a din in Shulchan Aruch, and the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch. There is such a din, but we usually it's a din derabbanan. We usually assume called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa tikkun. So what's the kein deraisa here? There is a din. If a person takes a shvua, nefesh kishishava levata b'sasam, the shvua is binding. What if he takes a shvua b'leiv, not binding? Omar Shmuel. That's the Gemara in Shavu, is Dav Chavavim Beis. Amar Shmuel Gomar, Baliboy, he made up his mind, it's not binding. Tzorch Lahoitze Bisvasa. That din Tzorch Lahoitze Bisvasa, so there's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. What if he pledged to give tzedakah, believe? What if he pledged to give tzedakah, believe? Made an appeal, made up his mind, he's going to give $1,000. But he never called it out, he never said anything before. Is he mechuyev to pay or not? So in Shulchan Aruch, in Chayshem Mishpat, as well as in Yerideh, it's a machlekes. And the Ramah is Machriya, by all divrei tzedakah, by all divrei mitzvah, including tzedakah, in the Kabbalah, neder, or Shvua Balev, you're obligated to pay. What's the issue? Because we have a pasuk in divrei ayomim called Nediv Lev Oilas Heviu. People who had pledged in their heart to bring a korban oilah were obligated to bring. So the Gemara says, that is a yotzei min haklal, that is an exception to the rule. The rule really is, nefesh kisheshova levate bisvasai. Only if he pronounces the neder of the shul with his lips. If he's just gama beliba, so it's not binding. So here we say, no, whoever pledged in his heart to give a carbon is obligated to give a carbon. So the Rabbi Natam is quoted by the Rosh in the first parak in Tainus. The Rosh quotes Rabbi Natam saying, a person is mekabel a Tainus, believe. So that's binding. Based on the pasuk, so there's a big machlokes in Achrayim. What did the Rabbi Natam mean? The Samachrim said the Rabbi Natam only meant it on Nidre Tainus. Because a Tainus, the Gemara compares a Tainus to a carbon. Because just like in a carbon, you makrif chelev adam on the Mizbeach, you zarek the dam. And then you makrif the chelev. So too, when a person fasts the whole day, So he loses a little weight, he loses a few ounces, and he loses a little bit of blood because he's not eating food, so the blood doesn't rejuvenate itself. So the chelav adam, the miyat chelav v'dami, that I will suffer because of fasting, should be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he had brought a carbon on the Mizbech. That's what the Gemara in Baruch says at tefillah. One of the Amoraim used to offer such a tefillah whenever he was Yosha B'tainas, miyat chelav v'dami, it's in the Siddur, should be accepted as if I had offered a carbon. So some Achronim say that's all the Rabbi Natan meant. By Nidre Tainus is the same as Nidre Korban, because the Tainus is like the Korban, Miyat Chalbi Vidam. Others say this is the accepted opinion. Others say no, the Rabbi Natan meant I'm all Nidre Mitzvah. And all Nidre Mitzvah. Nether for Tzedakah is also the same thing. Even though Tzedakah has nothing to do with Korbanos, any Nidre Mitzvah would be Chavavai. That's what's usually said. Then there's a third interpretation that's really not really accepted. I think the Trumas Hadeshin writes like this. Third interpretation is the Rabbeinu Tam meant to say a difference between neder and shvuah. That the pasuk, the original pasuk in Parshas Vayikra says nefesh kisishova lebate v'sosayim, that you have to pronounce the shvuah with your lips, only applies to shvuah. Neder is chal b'leif. And when Shmuel says in the Gemara, shvuah is gama b'leif b'tzoch l'hoisiv v'sosav, that you made up your mind, it's not binding unless you pronounce it with your lips, that's only a shvuah. Every neder is chal b'leif. That's a wild pshat. That's not the generally accepted pshat. We usually assume the middle pshat in the Rabbi Natan. He didn't only restrict himself to Nidre Tainus. Nidre Tainus, v'chol kayetzeh b'zeh. So that's the Ramah. The Ramah is in Yoridei and Hilchus Shavuos. And the Ramah is in Chayshim Mishpat. That if a person accepts a neder tzedakah b'leiv, so it's binding. How are we going to know that he took a neder tzedakah b'leiv? So he tells us. The Chacham tells us that he took a neder b'leiv, but he says he never pronounced the neder with his lips. So he said, it doesn't matter. You just made a haidos baldin that you're mechuyif to pay. So there are more paskins that were kaifa because he accepted the neder b'leiv. So based on that din, that if a person takes a neder l'dvar mitzvah, it's binding, that's a rabbi natam. Neder l'dvar mitzvah is binding, even b'leiv. So the Gemara has a step further. If he takes a neder for a midas chasidus, not an absolute dvar mitzvah, he's going to learn Daf Yomi. Is there a din you have to learn Daf Yomi? No. He's going to do some kind of Midas Chassidus. So whenever a person volunteers to do a Midas Chassidus, it's not outright a neder l'dvar mitzvah, but it's along the lines of a neder hanhoga teva, is something similar to a dvar mitzvah. So min ha-Torah, only nidre, outright nidre mitzvah, binding b'leiv, are included min ha-Torah in the pasuk kol nidiv le'vayla seviyu. And then the Gemara says, Midi Rabbanon. The Gemara says in Nidorim, Daftas Vavim and Aleph, if a person has a Minik Toiv, so a Minik Toiv is binding Mitam Neder. And if he does want to continue observing his Minik Toiv, he has to have Hatorah. He has to have Hatorah's Nidorim. So, what is that Dinda Rabbanon patterned after? It's patterned after the Dinda Raisa that a Neder Lidvar Mitzvah, if it would really be an outright Chiyav Mitzvah, then it is Chal Beleg. A Neder from Midas Chasidus, from Minik Toiv, is Midirabbanan. We treat every Minik Toiv as if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, and we say that it's binding. So it's binding Mitam Neder, Mitam Shvuah. We treat it as if the person had accepted a Neder or a Shvuah. So the Gemara seems to say that there are different types of Minhagim. There's a Minik HaYochid, a private person, has a Midas Chasidus. He davens Vasikin every day, or he davens by the Kosel every day. Or he always says Tilim every day, or he learns Daf Yomi every day, whatever. He has some kind of a Midas Chasidus. So a Midas Chasidus of a private person is Chal Mitam Shvuah, Midirabbanan, even though he never said it's Chal Mitam Shvuah Neder. Then sometimes you have a Minig, the family has a Minig. This is the family Minig for generation to generation. Even though I was not born at the time that the family accepted it, but since I'm part of the same family, it's binding on me as well. And then you have a Minig HaKehillah. Sometimes you have a minig, all of Klal Yisrael, the Rambam calls minig b'chol Yisrael. Sometimes you have a local minig, just the Kehillah observes a minig. So that's what we were discussing. The Gemara in Psachim, in Perek Malkum Shenogu, talks a lot about minogim. So the Gemara talks about such a concept as a minig b'nei ha-mishpacha. If you have a private personal midas chasidus, so if a person decides he wants to give it up, so he needs a hataras nedar. Let's say a guy, one person told me he adopted a certain midas chasidus, consulted with his Rebbe, and he adopted a certain Midas Chasidus, and then he went home for Pesach to visit his in-laws, whatever, so he couldn't observe the Midas Chasidus there. he's all nervous, but what's the din? It wasn't shaykh to observe the Minas Chasidus there, because everyone would laugh at him there. So I told him the Dogma Mevava writes on the side of the Yerba Simin Reishi Dalla. The only time you need a Hatoris and Dorf for Midas Chasidus is if you plan Mikana Lahabo to give it up totally. But if you just got stuck in one specific situation, he's for Yontif by his in-laws, and it's not shaykh to observe the Midas Chasidus there for the 2-3 days that he's there. He can't observe it, it just doesn't fit in. So the Dogma Mevava writes in Yerba that it's self understood. Implicit in every Midas Chasidus is that it'll come a Shas HaTchak and it'll be too difficult to observe this Midas Chasidus. See, so it's not the Minik is binding mitam net, it doesn't apply in such a case. You don't need a Hataras Nedarim if you just want to violate the Minik Toiv temporarily and you want to go back to observe it after the 2 or 3 days are up. You only need a Hataras Nedarim if Mikan Labo you plan to give it up completely. But it's just a temporary violation of the Midas Chasidus, so it's considered as if it's self-understood, as if it's built into the Minik Toiv, that B'Shas HaTchak, it won't be binding. So it says in Shulchan Aruch like that, that if a person has a Midas Chasidus, and Mikan V'Yelech, he wants to give it up completely. He doesn't want to continue observing the Midas Chasidus at all, not just temporarily. So then he needs HaTorah Sedar. Let's say a guy, for some reason or another, he can't wait between Fleishiks and Milchiks. A guy doesn't want to wait anymore between flesh and milk for 6 hours. He knows they're very religious Jews who only wait 3 hours or 1 hour. So he wants to make a Hatoras Nedarim, so he won't have to wait 6 hours. He wants to adopt another minute. So what do you mean he wants to adopt another minute? But the waiting 6 hours, that's his private minute. That's not a private personal minute. That's either a minute HaMishpacha or a minute HaKehila. Either the whole Kehila has the minute or the whole Mishpacha has the minute. That's not a private individual minute. Baharai, that we all force our children to observe this. When the children are growing up, you tell them when you're older, you have to wait 6 hours. Now your little child is okay. When you're older, you have to wait 6 hours. So why do we force it on our children? Parents who learn Daf Yomi force the learning of Daf Yomi on the children. Parents have other personal minhag chasidus. They don't force it on their children. If it's a family minhag or minhag hamakom, then it's binding on everybody. So the minhag to wait 6 hours is clearly not a minhag hayochid. That's a minhag hakehila. Or as a minig hamishpacha, so it's not shach to make a hataras nedarim on them. Same, let's say gibrocks. A guy comes from a chassidish family, he doesn't any gibrocks. Then he's stuck in a situation. He's away from home. He's stuck somewhere. The only food he can eat at Pesach is all going to be gibrocks. So you're going to say he should make a hataras nedarim. Who is he to make a hataras nedarim? He's not the bala neder. The only one who can make a hataras nedarim is the one who's the balam on the neder. The minig of gibrocks was never a private individual minig. That was either a minig of families or a minig of kehillas. So if it's a minig of families, if you're part of that family, so you have to observe it. If it's a minig of kehillah, so then it depends. If you used to live in a chassidish kehillah and now you move to a non-chassidish kehillah, then you no longer, and you don't plan to go back. Ain't died alach, so you don't plan to go back to the old kehillah. So you're a member of this kehillah, sure. So you're no longer obligated to observe all those minhagim. Or if a non-Hasidic person moves into a Hasidic community and he plans to live there permanently. See, you can't just say, well, I'm going to keep on eating gibrocks. What do you mean the whole kehila doesn't eat gibrocks? The yekke moves into a new community and he's the only yekke. He's less than 50% of the community. 100 people in the community, everybody waits 6 hours. He's only waiting 3 hours. What do you mean? Is the 3 hours versus 6 hours, is that a minhag hamishpacha? Is that a minhag hakehila? It's a minhag hakehila, so now you live in a kehila where everybody waits 6 hours. You can't say, well, I'm a yekke. It does not. You're not a yekke anymore. Unless it's a minhag hamishpacha. Okay. Either it's a minhag, we should have to ascertain that. Is that a minhag hamishpacha, minhag hakehila?
This applies to switching the nusach for tefillah. You used to dive start, now I'm nusach hagra. That's
the. I mean, one who davens always Nusach Sfard wants to go back to Nusach Ashkenaz. So Moshe Feinstein has an entertaining tshuva. All of his tshuvas are very levitic. He has a very entertaining tshuva. He says that who gave the Arizal the right? The Arizal was an Ashkenazi. He changed to Nusach Sfard, basically. So he said, who gave him permission to change? So he says, if someone wants to switch from an Ashkenazi, wants to switch from Nusach Sfard to Nusach Ashkenaz, he's going back to where we came from. So he said, that's for sure okay. Not the way the Chassam Sefer has a tshuva. Chassam Sefer has a tshuva that whoever wants to can switch the Sfard, but a Svart can't switch to Ashkenaz because the Svart is more correct. So Moshe says, what do you mean more correct? What are you talking about? This Nusach Svart by the Ashkenaz, and they all started Nusach Ashkenaz. The Arizal was an Ashkenazi. He wasn't a Svarti. So he adopted Nusach Svart. So if he was going to go, if he wants to switch back to Ashkenaz, he's going back to where he came from. So he said, ah, there, Rabbi, that's fine.
Doesn't
Rabbi Vadya
have a
tshuva
that
he
could switch to
Svaradit
if you're an Ashkenazi?
Svaradit? That's a different question. Okay. Different. Another question. Also similar to this.
What if part of the family abandoned
their family? Very unclear. Everything is very unclear. Nobody really, these shilas come up, 100 shilas a day come up like this. And none of the poskim really did a job. They wrote some of these svarim on, you know, how to say amen. A whole fat sefer in 500 pages. How to say asher yotzach. How to say boring fashions or something. Everyone wrote a whole sefer on how to sneeze, how to wipe your nose after you sneeze. And no one wrote on this. Minhagim is very unclear, very unclear. Anyway, so we assume in the Gemara in Sofim, they assume that there's a minig ayochid, that's minig bitam neder. So such a thing as neder ayochid, that we know from Chumash. A person takes a neder ashur. Then you say there's a minig hatzibur, minig klal yisrael. Where does that come from? That klal yisrael can take a neder or a shvur. There's such a concept. Klal yisrael can take a neder or a shvur. So the Ragachava points out, yeah, that that's a pasuk in Chumash. It's not a pasuk in Shir Hashir. Pasuk in Chumash says Hashbeya, Hashbeya is Bnei Yisrael. Ve'im apakod yivkaru l'kim eschem halisim asat zmai saim yizeh etchem. That Yosef asked the brothers that they should swear to him that they're going to take him when it comes the time to take him out of Mitzrayim. He knew it's not going to be during their lifetime. It's going to be a long 210 years. Redu, Kaminyan Redu, they're going to be there 210 years. So he didn't think his brothers were going to live so long, so that's why it says in the pasuk, Hashbea Hishbia. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, not pasuk, that's the pasuk in Shmos. In Bereshit, the Bereshit doesn't say, it just says Hishbia. It doesn't say Hashbea Hishbia. But in Chumash Shmos it says, Hashbea Hishbia, where is it? Probably Bishalach. Hashbeah Hishbiah, Rashi quotes in the Mechilta, Hishbiam Sheyashbiah was B'nei. He made the brothers swear that they would make the children swear that their children, to make their children swear that when the time comes time to leave Mitzrayim, they're going to take his body along. Why was Hishbiam Sheyashbiah was B'nei? Because it's only Shavuos HaYochid. Each person, if I didn't take the Shavuot, it's not binding. So the Ragachava asked the Kasha, that it says in Shir Hashirim, Hishbati Eschem Yerushalayim Shalayim, Im Toiru, Im Toiru, Esoaba, Ad Shetechpot. So the Gemara says in the end of Ksubis, the very end of Ksubis, when the Mishnah talks about living in Eretz Yisrael, Hishbati Eschem Yerushalayim Shalayim, Pasuk appears three times in Shir Hashirim. The Gemara says, Gimel Shavuos Hishbiyah Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take three oaths, three Shavuos, and it has to do, the Shalosh Shavuos has to do with Zionism. Something to do with Zionism. Not so sure exactly what it means, but it has something to do with not forcing the Umas Olam to give us Eretz Yisrael. So the Rav Chava says, I never took a shvur. My father never told me he took a shvur. My grandfather never told me he took a shvur. So why is it binding on us? If you need Hishbiyam, Sheyashbiyah, Zbenayim, Sheyashbiyah, Zbenayim. So I never took the shvur. Why is it binding on us? So the answer is, when a country makes a treaty after a war with another country, no war, peacetime, they make a trade agreement, whatever. They make a treaty, so the treaty is binding on all the Doris Abboim, because that country is one entity. All the people who live in that country is one entity. So here also he says, Klal Yisrael constitutes one big entity. Special did, Klal Yisrael constitutes one entity. Take, for example, he says, there are Karbanos Yochid and Karbanos Tzibur. So the Karbanos Tzibur have to be paid for by Mammon HaTzibur. It's only called Mammon HaTzibur if it's collected through Machzah Shekel, that's a Gzeres HaKosel. If you have a private individual who wants to put up the $5 million, they're going to call it the Mr. High Arbisfeld Karbanos Tzibur this year. So we don't accept it. So the Kohel Yom Rishon will accept it. The Karbanos Tzibur, you don't accept it. Karbanos Tzibur has to be from the Mammon HaTzibur. If it's not from the Mammon HaTzibur, the only Mammon HaTzibur is Machzah Shekel. If a private person wants to put up the money, it says, Hoshalei Arba Dalla Yamet. Everybody has to give the same amount. We don't accept donations over there. Special din, Karbanos Tzibur is Mammon HaTzibur. Who's the Tzibur? All of Klal Yisrael is the Tzibur. So not only do we say there's a concept of Klal Yisrael for Karbanos Tzibur, is the concept of Klal Yisrael. We treat them as one entity, but again, to a Shvuah. If Klal Yisrael takes the Shvuah, so the Shvuah is binding on the Doras Abayim. Even though I never took the Shvuah, my father never took, my parents never took the Shvuah, my grandparents never took the Shvuah, it's binding on the whole body of Klal Yisrael. So when did it change? So the Rav Chava says, Yosef HaTzadik lived Koyde Matan Torah. So there was yet no concept of Klal Yisrael. They were only Yechidim. So how did he Hishbiyam Shei Hashbiyah Zbenem? Hashbiyah Hishbiyah. Hasheini Kein Hishbaki Eschemenos Yerushalayim. That pasuk that appears three times in Sefer Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech is talking about some Shvuah that the Jewish people took. That's what it sounds like. The Jewish people took these Gimel Shvuahs after Matan Torah. We're not sure exactly when and where, under which circumstance, but that's what it sounds like from Shir HaShirim. The Jewish people took the Shavuos as a tzibur. So those Shavuos are binding on all the Doras Abayim. So if you have a minig of Kol Yisrael, the Rambam sometimes writes, there's a minig of Kol Yisrael to do like this. So if it's a minig of all the Kol Yisrael, so the minig is binding each Am Shavuah, who took the Shavuah? Kol Yisrael took the Shavuah. What do you mean? He took a Shavuah b'peh? No, he didn't take a Shavuah b'peh. A Shavuah b'machshav, a Shavuah b'lev is also binding with the Rabbanim. Okay. A minig tov is binding mitam neder. The Gemara says mid the rabbanon. So who's the bala neder? So it's not the individual person is not the bala neder. The whole Klal Yisrael, just like the Klal Yisrael can take a shvur deraisish bati eschem if they say bepeh. So even if they don't say bepeh, they can have a minig of Klal Yisrael. So then the Gemara has not only can you have a minig of Klal Yisrael, can have a minig hamishpacha. So you treat the whole mishpacha as one entity. If the mishpacha took a shvuah, so the shvuah is binding on the bnei mishpacha. And if they observe, the mishpacha observes a minig. Let's say, I don't know, gibrox maybe is a minig on mishpacha. Someone has to research it. Was it originally started as a minig of mishpacha, or was it originally started as a minig of kehila? The whole kehila adopted this minig. Let's say a chassidish person moves into a misnagdish neighborhood. Nobody observes the midas chassidus of gibrox. He doesn't plan to move back to Chassid's land. He's going to stay here for the rest of his life. So the Shaila is he still obligated to observe the Minhagim and Chassidish and Minhagim? So if they're Minhagim Mishpachos, so he still belongs to that Mishpach. If they're Minhagim HaTzibur, he belongs to a different Tzibur now. No longer belongs to that Mishpach. It depends how was it established in the first place. That's where we raise the question. There's such a thing as a minig ha-mishpacha. You treat the mishpacha as if it's a separate entity, a separate body, and the mishpacha can take a shvuah, just like Klal Yisrael can take a shvuah. Where do you have a din d'oraisa? Called the tikkun rabbanan ki ein d'oraisa tikkun. Where do you have a din d'oraisa that you treat the mishpacha as one body, as one entity? So we said, according to the one tzad in the Gemara, Rav Papa says that that's the tzad ha-safik of Rav Abba bar Mamu. Bishi yoshen emes mahu. So according to one side, he's saying it's mishum kisufa de b'nei ha-mishpacha. We treat the whole mishpacha as one body, and because as if it's one person with five bodies, and because I did a ma'aseh boshes to one of the mishpacha, so the chiv is chal directly to all the b'nei ha-mishpacha. The kedima, of course, is to pay him, the nechbal. But if the nechbal never gets to experience the boshes. Because it's Bishi Yoshen Emes, but there was Boshes to the Bnei Mishpacha, it's like I treat it as if the act of the Maisa HaBoshes was done to the whole Bnei Mishpacha, as if all of them constitute one body. Achidish, yeah, the only thing is this in the Baidla of Shita. Do we have any other place? We treat all of Bnei Mishpacha as one entity. The Radinim that depend on Kroivim, Goel Adam and Yerusha. We have dinim. That this person is a karev to that person. These people are not karev. But where do you have a din? All of the members together constitute one unit. This is the only place? I don't know.
Somebody another person died.
The one of his mavaish dies and he never experienced the bush. He was asleep. He was asleep and he never woke up to experience.
He was awake.
So right away the chiyuv to pay boshes was taught to him, and upon his death it goes be mushed to the children, so the children have a right to be taveya. But if he never woke up, he died in his sleep, so he never experienced the boshes. So that's where Rabba Mamamal is misupik. So Rav Papa disagrees with Rav Zvid. What is the tzad asofik to say chayiv? Echateser to say chayiv. So he doesn't say Mishum Zilus, he says Mishum Kisufa de Bnei HaMishpacha, that the Chiv goes directly to the Bnei HaMishpacha. But this is in the Bible of Shita. Whether there's such a thing, is there any other halacha in Chumash, from the beginning to the end? We treat all the people in the family as one entity. I don't know, we should research it. You have a lot of times a minig ha-mokom, that this mokom has a minig. In this city, the minig is that they eat b'sarei p'cholo, or whatever. That's not really a din. It's not really a shayla minig, that's a shayla b'din. They're two different things. See, the Ashkenazim followed the Ashkenazi poskim. The Ramah follows Tosfos, and the Ramah has minhagim of Ashkenaz. The Mechaber follows the psokim of the Ramah and the Rif, the poskim of Svarad, and he follows the minhagim of Svarad. These are two different things, not the same. Which minhagim you observe, that's a question of neder ha-shvuas ha-tzibur. So the Ashkenazim belong to this tzibur, and the Svaradim belong to that tzibur. So I say, it's considered minig is b'ayin mitam neder, as if this group of this tzibur of Ashkenazim took such a neder, such a shvuah, and the Svaradim took a different neder. So which group do you belong to? Do you belong to this group? Do you belong to that group? Sometimes people switch. Just like, let's say, it's a minig ha-mokam. This mokam, they observe this. This mokam, they don't observe, whatever. The guy moves from this mokam to that mokam. And if he's ain't like the lachzer, he doesn't have to observe anymore. He only observed it when he lived here, because that was the minig ha-mokam. Mishnah is like that. And mokam Shinoga and Gemaris and Shulchan Aruch like that. So the same is possible by minhagim. Let's say a guy is a Sfardi. Happens all the time in Eretz. A guy is a Sfardi. And he decides to learn in Panevish. And he's learning in Panevish and he speaks Yiddish with a Sephardi accent. He's obviously a dead giveaway. He's not an Ashkenazi. He speaks Yiddish with a Sephardi accent. And he does, and he dresses like an Ashkenazi. Everything is like an Ashkenazi. So he converted. He just converted. It just became. So no more. He's no more Sephardi. Which poskim you follow, that's a different question. That's not a question of minhagim. The Sfardim follow the Sfardi poskim, the Ashkenazim follow the Ashkenazi poskim. Why is that? The rule is, whenever a shayla comes up, so either you figure out what the din is, if you're entitled to an opinion. A chacham sheigir l'ra. Most people are not chacham sheigir l'ra. Even one who is, he can't work out all the shaylas. Called their kulo. He has no time to work out all the shaylas. So he's he didn't work out everything. So whether he is or he's not chacham sheigir l'ra. He has to follow the opinion of Rabbi Muvam. So we all accept whatever it says in the Talmud Bavli, that's accepted by all the Kallahs. So this is Rabbi Muvam, Talmud Bavli. Then the question is, after Talmud Bavli, what about all the issues, all the interpretations that came up? So by the Ashkenaz, so we have Rabbi Muvam is not always going to be one individual person. I have a group of people, I have 100 people, 1,000 people who had an influence on me. Rashi and the Rabbi Natam and the Ri and the Rambam had a little influence, then the Rif had a little, but by Ashkenazim, the Rashi and the Rabbi and the Tam and the Ri and the Rivor, they had more influence on me. And the Ramah, all the Chachmei Ashkenaz. So I have 1,000, and the Chayyadam, and the Vilna Goyen. So all of, by the Ashkenazim, we look at a group of people, and we say the majority of the people who we look to as our Rabbeim, as the Rabbi Muvok, are Ashkenazim. So you have to follow the opinion of Rabbi Muvok. Who has one Rabbi Muvok? So you have 1,000. So the majority of the opinions of the Rabbi Muvok of my Rabbeim say like this, I have to follow that. This Sfardim have a different group of people. They look to the Rambam and the Rif and the Perach Matei Aharon. They look to people we never heard of. The Ashkenazim we have a whole bunch of people that they never, Mishkenes Yankiv and a whole Karen Oyron, they never heard of these people. And they have people that we never heard of. So they look up to their group of Rabbeim. Who is their Rabbi Muvok? 1,000 people. Rashi and the Rabbi and the Tam and the Ri there too. But they rig it in such a way that the majority of their Rabbi Muvok are the Svadish and Paskim. So they're Mukhif, the father Svadish and Paskim. So this fellow who learned in Panevish, this Svardi, who learned in Panevish, and he marries an Ashkenazi girl, and he talks like talks Yiddish and everything. So he just converted to become an Ashkenazi. He lives in an Ashkenazi community. So probably Alpi Pashtus, the Minhagim, should now observe like an Ashkenazi. He broke away already from the Sephardi community. But when he looks back to his heritage in Torah, from the Stam, he'll still look back to his Perach Matei Aharon and Chacham Ovadia and Ramot Eliyahu and whoever else. His world of Rabbi Muvok's, his 1,001 Rabbanim that he was influenced by, are still, the majority of them are still the Sephardim. So it's shach that he's mechuyav to observe minhagi Ashkenaz, but he has to follow the psokim. He's an androgynous. He has to follow the psokim of the Sephardim, because they're two different things, they're not the same. Whose psokim you follow, that's the question. Who's your Rabbi Muvok? Whom do you look up to? So we all look up to. These are all Rabbi Muvik, the Rif and the Rambam, and Rashi and the Rabbi Natan and the Reed. These five everybody looks up to. But by the Ashkenazim, the Rosh was an Ashkenazi. So the Rosh has in the Tshuvas HaRosh, the Ri and the Rabbi Natan, the Gedolei Mechachmei V'Minyan, greater than the Rambam. That's what the Ashkenazim say. We look, see, the Rosh writes it very simplistic. You have the Ri and the Rabbi Natan and the Rambam. So you have three people. So if you only have three, two out of the three are Ashkenazim. So we follow the Rosh. No, but it's, but we have 1,001. We have 5,000. Everybody has 5,000 Gedolei who are Rabbi Muvak. But the Ashkenazim have a baggage, a whole list of 5,000, and the majority of them who had an influence on us, the majority of these Gedolei. Rabbi Muvak doesn't necessarily have to be a person who was alive whom I had Magamasa with. I learned by him. I never learned by him. It's a given Atana Rav Yosef Lili. And I live in his city, and he was the Moradasri. So all the Balabatim live in his city, the Dere Deris, look up to Rabbi Yosef Lili as the Rabbi Muvak. So the Gemara said, "B'makamish Rabbi Yosef Lili, ha'yochlem b'sarayf b'chalav." They followed his shittas years after he died. They still continued to eat basa b'chalav on chicken. Why? He was the Mar Da'asra. That was their Rabbi Muvak. They look up to him. B'makamish Rabbi Lezer in the city of Rabbi Lezer years after Rabbi Lezer died. Ha'yukorsu eitzim b'shabbos to make a bris milah, to fix the knife to make a bris milah. Why? Rabbi Lezer was the Mar Da'asra. Mar Da'asra is the Rabbi Muvak. So each group, the Chassidim and the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim, each group has a list of 1,001, of 5,000 in the Gedolim who had a Hashpo on them. And by each group, that by the Ashkenazim, so the majority, Gedolim, Chachma, V'Minyan, are the Ashkenazi Pasuk. By the Sfardim, the Sfardish Pasuk are Gedolim, Chachma, V'Minyan, because they don't have the same 5,000 people that we have. And by the Chassidim, the majority of the Rabbah Muvik is Chassidish Pasuk. So each group has to follow the majority of their paskim, because that's called the Rabbah Muvak. Then which minhagim you observe is a different issue. That means which community do you, it depends, is it a minhag hamakom or is it a minhag hamishpacha? So if it's a minhag hamakom, if you move to a different makom, goodbye. So no more minhag hamakom. The minhag of the shvu of this minhag is mitam neder at tzibur, shvuas at tzibur. So now I belong to a different tzibur if it's ain't dait alafza. Or if it's minhag hamishpacha, which mishpacha do you belong to? So sometimes when you have a mixed marriage, a chassidish marries a misnagdish girl, or a sfardi marries an ashkenaziya, so the reverse, whatever. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, usually we assume that the girl is bebeis baila. The girl is bebeisa. Bebeis is elishta. The girl is bebeis haba. So whatever minhagim, whatever family he belongs to, that's talking about minhag hamishpacha. We assume that since she's bebeso, she's entering his mishpacha. But I don't think it's Rav Moshe, I don't think it's absolutely always the case. Let's say the boy's a Baal Tshuva. His family is not observant. He knows that they're whatever, yekis, they're misnagda. He goes from a chassidish family, and he goes in, he's taken into the girl's family. And he really enters her family. He can't say that she enters his family. Who enters whose rishus, the husband or the wife? Rav Moshe said that's a din chumash. She enters his rishus, he doesn't enter her rishus. There's a din of eshesish, there is no din of isheshes. She's not allowed to marry anyone else. She's entering his rishus. He's not, there's a chem der Rabbeinu Gershman on the level of the ice, he can marry another wife. You don't say he enters into her rishus. Who's entering whose rishus? So that's a din of chumash, it's a seres adim, it's a din of eshesish. And the husband can take more than one wife, menatara, so he doesn't enter her rishus. But the question is, maybe the both of them together are entering into his family or into her family. It's a different question. Moshe says that normally, since she's entering into his rishus, sometimes she's entering into his family. Yeah, that's if he has a big family and all observe mitzvahs one way. She has a big happy family and they all observe mitzvahs another way. So it's a toss-up. It doesn't make sense to say that a husband and the wife, she waits 6 hours and he only waits 3 hours. If she's going to wait 3 hours, he's going to wait 6 hours. He used to be a dayan here in the neighborhood. So he used to wait, but he was a non-yekka, I think. So he waited 6 hours, and the wife waited 3 hours between fleshmen. So Pashtus says, maybe they got divorced. But Tolzman that they're married, there was a secret. We don't know. Tolzman that they were married, how can they have split? That she belongs to one killer, he belongs to another killer. So you have to say they both belong to the same killer. So which killer? Either it's a minigah mishpacha, or it's a minigah kohol, minigah killer. So you have to make up. The husband and wife have to belong to the same mishpacha, or to the same killer. So you have to decide, what kind of a minig is it, waiting 6 hours? And it's not, I don't think it's always going to be absolutely the case that the girl always enters the husband's family. Sometimes his family is empty. Her family is very rich. They have all the children and all the spouses and all the grandchildren and the uncles and aunts. Everybody follows Minik Sfarad. Everybody follows Chassidisha. Everybody follows Misnagdisha. And his family is a Mishpocha Dala. They have hardly anybody there. So Pashta says that he's entering her family. She enters his Rishus. But the both of them together are entering into her family. The whole Rishus, both of them together are going into her family. So in each case, you have to judge who's entering into, who belongs to which Kehillah.
The families in the Hagim is based on the Makam that they came from. A lot of Yekin, I mean, it comes from Germany, but they're no longer living in Germany or
I don't know. We really ought to determine in the first place how did these minhagim develop? Were they initiated as minhagi hamakom? So once they move to a different community where the majority don't follow that minhag, so they have to follow the minhag of the majority. But maybe it could be that in the first place these were instituted as minhagi mishpacha. I don't know. The 6 hours in the Gemara is mentioned as a private minhag. One of the Amoraim says, my father was such a holy tzaddik, he used to wait 24 hours between fleshix and milk. I'm not such a big tzaddik like my father. I only wait 6 hours. He only waits from one meal to the other, and that's what the Rambam says, kemo sheishos. So the Maritz recorded as a private minute. His father had clearly a private minute. We never heard of a kehillah where they wait. He lived in the same kehillah with his father. So my father had a private minute to wait 24 hours. He says, I'm not on that madrega to accept such a, he's not holding by such madregas. Not such a medactic that it should make sense for him that he should observe such a midas chassidus to wait 24 hours. He says, I only wait 6 hours. So from the Gemara, it sounds like it was a private midas chassidus. And then at some point in history, it became a minig of a kehillah, or a minig of mishpacha. So if someone should do research, how did it start?
How long they waited between meals and meals? It doesn't say an hour about an hour, they wait 1 hour. Probably 1 hour.
That's what it says in the Zohar.
No. The Zohar
says you wait. You don't eat flesh. It's in milch. It's the shaita chodah. Based on the Zohar, same in the reverse. That if you had milch, you should wait an hour to have flesh. That's the shaila on Shavuos. A lot of people want to wait an hour between milch and flesh. So then is the shaila, does it make sense they should bench and then wash again? Is that called bracha shein etzvicha? Because for the Zohar. Amidas Chassidus, is that a bracha shein etzvicha? Or is that okay? That's a discussion. The Lama Loyal has the other side.
There's no real changing, there's no real killers at the Second World War. Everything was like the bubble.
So someone has to do some research on this, right? So in all the svarim that they have on Minhagim, a beautiful work, they have wonderful things, but no one really worked out what the klal is, what's going on over here. What determines, you have everyone, the whole world is moving, everyone's moving to different places. So what happened to all these wonderful menhagim? When are they binding? When are they not binding? That's a shayla. Where do you have a din that the people in the city constituted sinner? Yeah, but didn't all of Klal Yisrael, the Raga Chava says, Hishbati Yes, Chamenos, Yerushalayim, Klal Yisrael took a Shavua, and the Shavua Satzibur is binding on the whole Tzibur. So a Minig Tov is binding Mitam Neder, so such a thing is a Minig of Klal Yisrael. But where do you find a marker that the community to take? The community constitutes a unit? All the people who live in the city constitute a unity. You have such a din. So we have it in Chumash, a couple of places. We have it here in Idachas. You have an early dachas that you determine based on whoever lives in who is considered a member of the city of Mars if they lived there 30 days. Whoever lived less than 30 days doesn't count. Whoever lived more than 30 days does count. There are businessmen passing through the city of Chameras, Agamelos, Maveris, Mimakum, Lamakum. So Mars says in the end of Sanhedrin, if they stayed in the city more than 30 days, they're considered Ka'an Sheho'ir. And then you have to determine based on Ruba Kukula, if Roy Bnei Huir worshipped Avodah Zarah or not. So then you have to burn down the whole city, has a din of Yerni Dachas. So Ruba Kukula only applies when you have a unit. So obviously the Gemara is assuming that from the Pasuk and Chumash, they treat all the Bnei Huir as one unit. All the people that live in the city as one sibur, one unit, so it's shach to say Ruba Kukula. Otherwise, how do you apply Ruba Kukula? Ruba Kukula is only when you're dealing with a unit. That's Rav Chaim's Yisrael. You look at Kol Nalei Plasman, you have a Yid. Where else do you have a Din? Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa also bad news. They're only Dachas, it's bad news. They worship David. It's Egla Rufa also. Some, we established that the murderer came from this city. We don't know. Lo know that Mihiko, we don't know. So based on Korah, we assume the murderer must have come from this city. So we, all the Anshe Huir are Mechuyev to chip in to pay for an Egla Rufa. And it has to belong to the Anshe Huir. It has to belong to all the people. Mar has a din. What if Nimtza Mechuvim and Shtei Ayaris? You find the dead body exactly smack in between two different cities. So there's a Machlokes HaTanoim. So the Raman Paskins Eif Shel Litzam say that we don't... You don't bring the boat, you don't say that both cities are Mechuyev to bring Egla Rufa. We assume it's either closer to city A or closer to city B. The Epshet of Tzamtzim we can't establish, so that Mechuyev is suffering. So you collect money from both of the cities, and they bring one Egla Rufa, ala Tanai, ala Suffolk, and the Rambam spells out what the Tanai is. It doesn't say anything more. Rambam says he spelled out the Tanai. If city A is closer, the Egla Rufa should belong, the ownership of the whole, they paid $500 and we paid $500. So their $500 should be a matana to the, all the B'nai who are here. We should treat it as if the whole Egla Rufa belongs to us. And if their city B is closer, the $500 that we chipped in should be considered a gift. And the whole Egla Rufa belongs to them. So it's not just by Egla Rufa that the whole city is mechuyev to bring Egla Rufa. You treat the whole, all the people that live in the city as one unit, as one entity. Rabbi also, whoever lived there for 30 days. Rabbi also, I don't know, maybe they need a whole year. Maybe they need, they should live there a whole year. The Gemara says, to be considered, hakesakas yoshvi ho'ir ahi, to be called yoshvi ho'ir, it depends on 30 days. To be considered b'nei ho'ir, it depends on yud beis chodesh. You have to live there a whole year. I don't know, by Egla Rufa, Yiranidachas, the Gemara says it depends on 30 days, because the Loshon HaPasuk is Hakesakas Yoshvi Rahi. Maybe by Egla Rufa it depends on living there for a whole year. But you see from these two dinim in the Chumash that there is a din of city, that we know, there is a din of city. In Chumash, the cities in Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, than the farms. One would have thought the reverse. Yeah, cities are full of movies and prostitution. And Gezel on the farms, life is much, much cleaner, the air is cleaner, everything is cleaner. I don't know. But the din is that the cities have a higher level of Kedusha. Not only Ayaras, Hamakafis, Chamas, and Shubanun have a higher level of Kedusha, but the regular cities have a higher level of Kedusha. We mentioned the din is that a person who's a Metzora, or the Metzora is Mishtaleh, Chutz, Layaras, Hamakafis, Chayma. But in Eben Hamanuga, from a Bayis Hamanuga, in Eben Hamanuga, it says, Behotiyasu Eben Hamichutz lo ir. So the Rashi and the Goyim quotes at Tosef, the Mechutz lo means any city in Eretz Yisrael. Not only a Mukva Chaymois and Shubinun. So you see that the cities have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. That's about the city, the location, the geographic location on a map. But that you treat all the people who live in the city as a separate body. That's a chiddush. So you find that by Yoni Dachas, the citizen, the people of the Yoshvi who here are treated as one entity, as one group. You go Basar Roy, Ruba Kukula, and it applies when you have a unit. And you say the same thing by Egla Rufa, that all the people who live in the city constitute one entity. So that's why we assume there's such a thing as a minigamoka. Yeah, but sometimes you have two shuls in the same city. So you say, new shul. In this shul, they do wear tefillin chalamoy. So whoever doesn't wear tefillin has to daven in the women's section. And that shul down the block, they don't wear tefillin chalamoy. So whoever doesn't want to wear tefillin has to daven in the women's section there. So where do you have such a din? That the people who belong to one shul, al pi din, they're shutfim. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that people who live in a shul, people who go to a shul, they're considered shutfim in the shul. The shul belongs to all of the mispalalim. The Gemara says, al pi din, the shul is not, the Nesivis points out, it's not that the shul belongs to Hegish. The shul is considered as if it's Mamana Shutfim. But where do you find not only Shutfim? That all the people from one shul constitute Al Pidin, one community. And Shach to say that there's a Shvuas HaTzibur, Shvuas HaChaburi here. How can you say Tzibur? A Shvuah, and a meaning is binding Mitam Neder, as if the people in this shul took a Neder to observe such a practice. Do you find such a thing? Or is that. Maybe it's not true. Maybe the minig amokim is only binding against the minig amokim. The whole city. Maybe there's no such thing. Like we assume, there's a minig amokim. Maybe such a minig amokim is not binding mitam neder. Maybe it's only binding because Also the Shadis, but they are machloikas. Mishnah and Pesachim has like this.
Less
is guided up, yeah. We could just say that it's a Nisa, it's not that it's a Mitzvah. We're trying to establish, the Rambam seems to hold that Bin Hagim are only binding Mitam Lysis Gadim, that's all. But it's not that there's a Mitzvah to observe a Minig. The Rambam learns the Gemara, the Rambam has a Shuvit where he writes Minig is Mitam Neder. Doesn't mean the way we say that it's as if you took a Nidre Mitzvah to give Tzedakah, so this but the Rabban is considered also a Nidre Mitzvah. The Rambam learns Minig is Mitam Neder, the Gemara never says it. He says Minig is like a Neder, means that a Neder should really be a violation of Baal Taisi, but Aloha says that it's not. The Minig should also look like a Shmek from Baal Taisi. A Minig looks, not only we have 613 Mitzvahs, we have a Minig this and a Minig that, we have more than 613 Mitzvahs. So Minig looks like it's a violation of Baal Taisi. So Minig is similar to a Neder, just like a Neder, strictly speaking, is not a Baal Taisi. The Torah permits it. So Minig is also not considered a violation of Baal Taisi. That's how the Rambam learns Chapter. So why are you mechuyev to observe? So you shouldn't be mechuyev to observe the Minig. And the Hanami, not mechuyev. You just, if you'll violate the Minig, so you'll be over on those who's going to do Mekneah Machloikis. You're causing Machloikis. You're parish menat sibo. That's perhaps someone said, that's why the Rambam holds that you don't recite the Bracha when you volunteer a Minig. The Rambam says when you recite Chatzi Hala Rishchei, you don't say a Bracha. You don't say a Bracha when you're doing something in order not to violate a Nisa. You only say a Bracha when you're about to perform a Mitzvah. But if Minig is only, the obligation to observe Minig is only not Osho Lashanis Mateh Machloikes, so it's only Mishum Lois is going to do, so that it's, you're not fulfilling a Mitzvah. Tosis on the other hand holds now that there are two parshias in the Chumash. There's a parsha Nefesh Kisushava Levate Bisosayim. That's a Shavuah's Bitoy. Person takes a Neder, a Shavuah, whatever. Then there's a parsha in Chumash Dvarim. Motzitz Sosecha Tishma V'yosisya Kasha Nodarta L'Hashem HaKech L'Ndova Kasha Dibarta B'Ficha. So the Ramban counts these as two different mitzvahs. Motzitz Sosecha Tishma V'yosisya is a mitzvah seseh. He says, Kola Yetzim Ipiv Yasem Parshas Matos, that's an Iser Aseh. You shouldn't violate the neder of the shvur. But what's of sechet tishma, that's a kiyum asay. If a person took a neder to give a carbon, if a person took a neder to give tzedakah, nidrei mitzvah, took a neder to learn daf yomi every day, took a neder to dam masikin, so that's a nidrei mitzvah. So nidrei mitzvah, there's a kiyum mitzvah, not just an iser asay. Ramban has a taina why the Rambam included all in one mitzvah. So not that taina, but the Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik, said the Rambam has to also agree that there are two different parts. One is a kiyum asay, one is an iser asay. Ramban is right. Motzis Rachatishma is a kiyum asay. So Tosfos claims that a minig is binding mitam neder. That's the accepted opinion of Yerodeya. It's in the Reishu Dala. A minig is binding mitam neder. Just like this nidre mitzvah v'yochid, so too the nidre mitzvah v'tzibur. So it's considered as if the whole tzibur took a neder mitzvah to recite chatzi hala reshchodesh. And a neder is binding, a minig is, minig tov is binding mitam neder. Mid the Rabbanon, the Gemara says. Because no one ever took it levate b'sosayim. It was not levate b'sosayim. So we say that it's binding mitam neder. So with the Rabbanon, we treat it as if the tzibur took a nidrei mitzvah. So if you mechuyev with the Rabbanon to fulfill a nidrei mitzvah, so you got to say a bracha. It's a kiyum asay. So Tosfos holds you do say a bracha. Achatzi hala rosh chodesh. Why? Because the minig is binding mitam neder, nidrei mitzvah. The nidrei mitzvah is a kiyum asay. So you do say a bracha. The Rambam seems to hold it's not that there's binding, it's not that there's a mitzvah. There is no kiyum asay in observing the minig. Minig mitam neder just means that there's no violation of Baal Taisa, just like a neder. It looks like Baal Taisa, but it isn't. So minig looks like Baal Taisa, but it isn't.
First people who start the halakha, but then it's not a matter of places
to go. They don't
really know. They volunteer. Those who come later. Don't know
what
it's going on,
so
they have to do it.
So whoever daven's there, that community has to say the halal.
It's the same for everybody.
Right? And if I'm not. The Torah says that there are seven times
there were certain mishpachas that brought the eggs to the fair, certain mishpachas
are different from the shmoros. Are those that had the money
mitzvah
shmoros? I mean, their mishpacha had the skus. Yeah, they had the skus specifically for the shmoros. It's like a skus in Dili Mamonos. When they first put up the second Beis HaMikdash, so they were auctioning off Shalashudas for the next 600 years. Who wants to sponsor Shalashudas? We're going to put a plaque up that you sponsor Shalashudas, Parshas Achramayis, the Yolam Void, for the whole Baishain. So they volunteered to sponsor, not Shal Shul Hamas, they volunteered to sponsor the Korban Eitzim once a year, every year, and this week. So they sold. Okay. So Ezra said, Maskin. And he gave this list. So it's like. The Shmuris Tav is also a Chalukin, like a schus in Dini Mamas. All of the Kohanim are supposed to be Makom Korbanos, but you can't have everybody come at one time. So the first they divided up into four Mishmaris, then into eight, then into 16, then into 24. So they made 24, that's like a Chalukas HaShutfin. Chalukas HaShutfin, because otherwise all the Kohanim have a schus, how are they going to fight it out? So they all agreed, Mervad, how does the Pasuk say? Shares the Chalach HaKohanim Mervad. The guy how the pasuk goes. Limkar al avos. So that was like a mechira. They agreed. It's like the shutfim who all have the schus to be makro karbonis. They agreed that my mishmon will do this week and your mishmon will do that week. All the karim got together. So here also this was the schus of the karbonatim. Someone has to pay for the karbonatim. So they instead of taking all the time for machza shekel money. You'll tax the whole community, everybody has to pay. So they had the individual families bought up the right to bring. Once they bring the carbon eggs and once they have the exclusive, they won, they can prevent everybody else from bringing the carbon eggs on that case. Once they knew carbon eggs, so then they have to celebrate like Yom Tov Shalahu, because you brought the carbon eggs. Whenever you bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says it's a Yom Tov Midrabbah. So they had the schus, they bought up the schus mamanis. They promised that their family is going to give the other one, going to hang up a plaque in the Beis HaMikdash. That Shalashud is for the whole Bai Sheni period, is sponsored by this and this family on Parshas Emor. And Shalashud is on Parshas Bamidbar, is sponsored by a different family. So they hung up a plaque that they sponsored the Korban Eitzim on Rosh Chodesh Or. So that was really, they made a chaluk and a schus in the imams. So this is a shaila. Where do you have a cult that Tikkun Rabban came to rise to Tikkun? Where do you have that mishpacha is treated as a separate entity? The Gemara says there is a minhag hamishpacha. The Gemara Pesachim says there is a concept of minhag hamishpacha. So this is the only mocha you have in Kol HaTorah Kula. I don't know. This suffix of Rapapa's interpretation of the suffix of Rababa Bamama, that maybe you treat the whole family as one entity. I don't know. It's problematic. Then we had Rabbi Yudah Shita. Okay, Rabbi Yudah says Suma Shetviyesh is Pata. That's called Suma Eila Boishes. Amavayishes Hasuma pays. That's Lachuli Alma. What it says in the Mishnah. Amavayishes Hasuma Sfei. But Suma Shetviyesh is a Machloek Rabbi Yudah Nachacham. Rabbi Yudah holds that Yipata. Shaila is my time in Rabbi Yudah. So the Gemara quotes the three brises, three different versions. So according to the first version, Rabbi Yudah Patas V'chein Hayapat Rabbi Yudah Mikol Onshin Shabbater from Nisa, from Malkus, and from Golus, and from Boshes. Poshib Shat is that Boshes is separate from the Yarbo Advarim. I remember Rav Soloveitchik, when he started Bava Kama, the first daf, he assumed that according to Rabbi Yudah, he assumed it was part of Mikol HaBosh, and it was part of Molech HaMish Advarim. I don't know. Now, Psaduk and the Gemara, I don't see. The Pashtas is that he's only part of not Boshes, and the Yarbo Advarim is Yitzchai, because Boshes, Rabbi Yudah holds, is an Oynish. And the Oynish is similar to Misa and Malkus and Golgus, and Asuma is a La Baramsh. Second version of Rabbi Yudah Tanyidach, the bottom line, Rabbi Yudah Omer, going over to the top line of Pezayin. Chen Ha Rabbi Yudah Patim called Dinim Shabbatur. Not that he parted the Asuma for more luncheon, he parted the Asuma for more payments of money. He doesn't have to pay any Dinim Omer. We start by learning out from this passage that the Asuma doesn't have to pay Boshes. Let me say he doesn't pay the whole Chamisha Dvarim, going to the second version. He doesn't pay Chamisha Dvarim. And he doesn't pay anything. He doesn't pay Nizik and he doesn't pay anything. According to the first version, they were, it's only Boishas. The other Abad Dvarim are not the same as Boishas. He doesn't part of the Sumer. We call it Dinim Shabbatar from all Dinim. The only part is from Onshin. The second version is he part is, we call Dinim, never pays any money. And the third version is the most famous version. And the third version is that Rabbi Yudah Poitra, we call Mitzvah Shabbatar. The Sumer doesn't have to observe any mitzvah. So then Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Yosef was a Sagi Nohar. He was blind, Rashi writes, so he said, originally he said, Mirei Shavi Amin, originally he used to say, whoever will demonstrate to me that the din is like Rabbi Yudah, I'll make a Yom HaTov L'Rabban, he'll throw a party. Why? Because he's Eina Mitzvah V'Yosef, and he thought that God would be Shein HaMitzvah V'Mishem Mitzvah V'Yosef. it's a higher madrega. But then when he told him that it's not so, the Gorla Mitzvah Mishayim Mitzvah Yos, he said, Fakir, whoever will tell me that I am a Chuyim, I'll throw a party, because then I'll be Mitzvah Yos. It sounds like the difference between throwing a party in a hair, his only shot is in Mitzvah Yos, but the rest of his religious observance is going to stay the same. How's it going to stay the same? Does he say a bracha when he puts on the talis and tefillin every day? Or does he not say a bracha and he washes until he's a dime? Does he daven? Does he daven? Does he do the mitzvahs? Matzamar. Sounds like he does everything the same. He's keeping all the mitzvahs, saying all the brachas, the whole davening, everything is exactly the same. The only difference is he going to throw a party ahin? Is he going to throw a party ahair? Is a mitzvah b'yoyse is moschar? So let me throw a party if it will turn out like that. Or any mitzvah b'yoyse is moschar? It sounds like he's saying brachas all along. So this is the question, what's going on? So you can say, one of two mahalchim, either you say that even though he's potter, but if he wants to volunteer, ain't a mitzvah, he has to get schar. So just like if a woman volunteers a mitzvah, says she has man groma. So the Rabbi Natam says the woman can say a bracha. So the summa is the same. If the summa wants to volunteer, the summa can also say a bracha. I but Asher Kedishanam with mitzvah of itzivanam, but he's not mitzvah to observe anything. So how can he say he says a bracha? Same question by the Isha. She says Asher Kedishanam with mitzvah of itzivanam on the Tilas Lula. But the woman is not Mechuyev. How can she say that? So explain, the answer is, the Kedusha she saw, she has on the same level as the Ish. She has a Ptur from certain mitzvahs. Mitzvah says, she doesn't want to do it, she doesn't have it. But the Kedusha she saw means Kedushanu b'mitzvahs and mitzvah. That's what it's all about. So it starts off with the full Kedusha she saw. Acheru Shoyot V'Kotn also have a full Kedusha she saw. They're lab b'nei Deya, so they're not Mechuyev to perform mitzvahs. Let's say the Chereshot Shoyot V'Kotn will be in an accident, there'll be a Pikuach Nefesh. So you say, not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos because they're going. No, they're not going. Chereshot Shoyot V'Kotn is a difficult Shuvah in Halachas Ketanis that the Achronim all disagree with. He says, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a Chereshot Shoyot V'Kotn. Save the life of a baby? You're always Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a baby. Babies always get sick and you have to run to the hospital with the baby on Shabbos. So the Achronim say it's ridiculous. The baby has the same Kedusha as Israel as an adult. Right now he has a Ptur, he's a labrador. So the Summa also has full Kedusha Yisrael like the Isha. So one Mahalach is to say, like the Rabbi Natan, you see from his Gemara that he used to say all about. The other Mahalach is to say, what Tosis suggests on Adam, maybe the other woman does not recite a bracha when she performs a mitzvah, says the Shazman Grama, like the Ramam and the Ravid hold that a woman does not say a bracha. But the Summa, if we'll leave him on the level, if you hold the Summa is Potem and Atur, we call our mitzvahs. So with the Rabbanon you have to say that they're Machayivim. He's going to look like a Goy Gomer. The Gemara says, Beferish and Brocha, is that they will never Machayiv the women to observe the mitzvah of Shazman Grama, even with the Rabbanon. Even the Rabbanon will never Machayiv them. Kiddush, they're Chayiv in Atur. But every other mitzvah of Shazman Grama, the Gemara says, they're Potter, even with the Rabbanon. They're never Machayiv them. But the Summa, Tosis says, is worse. If you Abel Summa, Tosis towards the end of the Chen Hoy Rabbi Potro. Tosis writes, Abel Summa has nothing. He patches slave, we call him it's a film of the rabbin, can't have like him on the Christian, like the terrorists who saw a plow. Ulakach! And therefore, they were mechayb the summa mid the rabbin. That's how terrorists suggest. But bottom line, it would appear from the Gemara, whether you hold like Rabbi, or hold like the rabbin, it sounds like Rabbi Yosef observed everything the same as a regular person. He said, brochas and everything. So either it indicates that, like one opinion, like the Rabbi Natan, the Baal HaTos says that one who's ain't a mitzvah v'yoseh can volunteer to say the bracha, because it is a true bracha. It's not a nochri is going to volunteer to sit the sukkah, can't say kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'mitzvah, it's just not true. But the summa, the isha, can't. Either that's the pshat, or you have to say the midirabbanu, the ramachayiv him. Otherwise it'll look like a nochri. Okay, we better stop here. Tomorrow I think I'm supposed to give a shiur in the yeshiva in the morning. I'm not sure what time. But Hilchas Mikvois for the Rabbanan. I don't know the time or the place. And in the afternoon I'm supposed to give a shiur for the Rabbinical Council of America in the OU office. So I think tomorrow I won't be able to give a shiur. Tomorrow's Tuesday. But Wednesday I think we'll try to finish the Chazar. Try to wrap up everything that we want. Okay. I just wish we said, oh, yeah, it's a shame. I'm sure you're going to have a shame. Oh, the lovely daddy, I am in the life of a book. She called the great one. Oh, you're my brother. Oh, she called the great one. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be